restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambastech.com. If you love the food and the homemade traditions of the Amish community, then the Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Wharton is something you need to know about. From fresh baked breads and pies, fresh fruit and produce, to Amish made furniture and gifts. The Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman, right next to the Georgetown. Visit us online at thevalleymarketplace.com. Open Thursday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Friday, 9 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to 4. Shop early on Saturday till 10 p.m. and take 5% off select foods and items.
Correct. As we get corrected, we accept our correction and move on. front of you and they call your names and call you stupid and that BS, that GOP liar, that Democrat liar, that this, that another. We're here to talk about that. All the things that you're not supposed to talk about, we talk about here after the trade conference because it's important. So we welcome your call. And if you didn't know it here locally, we had the foremost, most famous, the greatest pediatric brain surgeon in the world here addressing a crowd at Powers Auditorium in downtown Youngstown. And I'm sure there might have been one or two seats in that 2,500-seat auditorium. I think it might be more than that. But let me tell you, the place was packed. And Mr. Carson, Dr. Ben Carson, was brilliant. He told a story about where he came from, poor in growing up poor in Detroit, Michigan, and how his illiterate mother made he and his brother learn how to learn. In spite of some of the things that they did fall into from time to time, she still made them learn how to learn, made them write book reports and read, and she created the greatest pediatric brain surgeon in the world. If there ever was a reason, a reason to listen to somebody about abortion, adoption, whatever it was, then this is a very good case. Dr. Ben Carson, please, if you haven't heard of him, because I made a post on my site that, you know, about his presentation last night. And some people said, I don't know who he was. Well, I mean, that's possible that you don't know who he was, but he's been making a whole lot of waves after he was the keynote speaker at the prayer breakfast, presidential prayer breakfast back in January. He said some very clear and pointed things, and they were taken as an assault on the president, which it was not. But most of all, I know that they had a media blackout of the event in the sense that they were not going to get any interviews by Dr. Carson. However, I believe that the local newspaper should have at least written a small report on what happened at that location and at that presentation. Didn't have to be able to ask him questions to be able to report on what happened. And it was very, very poignant. It was very, very clear. It was very uplifting. It was very inspiring presentation by Dr. Ben Carson last night. Love hearing intellectual people be simply smart. And that's what kind of person he was last night. Didn't attack or nothing. But afternoon with Tracy and friends, we're going to talk about that when we get back from our break here. See you on the other side of our message. We've got to pay some bills.
I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love. Charlie Staples barbecue sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a couple of.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
If you're a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, like me, coming home can be harder than expected, but it turns out I wasn't alone.
At IAVA.org, there's a free online community of thousands of vets who've got your back. Whether it's managing the transition home or everyday stuff
like finding a nice sweater for my dog.
Sweater?
Okay, maybe not that. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org.
We've got your back.
Brought to you by IAVA and the Ad Council.
Mark Levin is on the radio.
We are going to come at you politically. I wish I could do everything possible to sabotage your agenda because your agenda is anti-American, because your agenda is anti-free market and anti-private property, because your agenda is an attack on the individual. I personally will do whatever I can to sabotage such an agenda, to obstruct it, to divert it, because I'm coming after you all the time.
Weekdays from 6 to 9 p.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM. We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
This is what they should do with healthcare right here. Take your time. Take your time, government. Quit running. rushing this thing because you know it ain't right in the first place. Take your time. All right, that's enough of that. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends, Jeff and Aaron Chair here. You know, it's Tuesday, and Tracy has to take care of that other political stuff she does and out there hobnobbing with the rich and famous. And, you know, she sends me to the dungeon here to do the show, and it's okay because I love being here with you guys and hearing what you got to say and, you know, going head-to-head sometime. But you know, we listen. We want to hear what it is. Yeah, not tonight, brother man. You know, they got to do it. I don't want them to do it for a whole lot of nights. About 5-6 years would be good if you've asked me. This is not what we needed. This is not what the doctor ordered. Not at all. Because I'm just telling you, we haven't seen the whole of this thing yet. When it comes to health care, because the employer mandate has not taken effect yet. So therefore, the employers haven't gotten rid of the health cares that they're not wanting to cover anymore. And so next year, you will have another few million people lose their plans. And even if the people that are losing their plans this year find something, you're going to have another unsettling of it next year. The Obama administration knew this because they voted on it. They voted to have that happen. Now, because they knew, and they knew from 2 years ago what was getting ready to happen, 3 years ago. But they did it anyway. Why? Because what's more important than you to progressives is that they get their way with your life. They want to have their way with you. It's sort of like a rapist or an abusive husband or wife. They want to make you do what they want you to do. They're not interested in your well-being and your happiness and your anything. So I want you to understand that whenever you get one side or the other that wants bigger government, what they're saying is, we want more control over your life. They're not saying that we want to help you because we know you need health care. We see you starving out there. If you see me starving out there, then answer me a question. Why are you paying people to not grow food? If you see me starving out there and you're so great, why, when it came to the bailout, didn't you bail out all the people of the United States instead of bailing out the businesses? If you had bailed out the people of the United States and made them have to pay their bills first, you wouldn't have this problem. And we still have to pay it back, but at least we'd have the satisfaction of having to pay it back for ourselves. This is ludicrous. Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? And I'm going to say it's a little bit of both sides that are taking part in this, as now there's an element in the Republican Party that matches the element in the Democrat Party that is taking it over completely, and they're called progressives. Progressives. I don't want that. Get out the way. Progressives are a worldwide organization. They are not a local people that want to see good things happen progressively to the United States. 207, you're in the air.
Hey, Jeff, just me. Just Reds giving a call. How you doing today, man?
Good, bro. How you doing?
Good. Well, you know, we having a little memorial this coming Saturday at World Fellowship. Little small church right there that Jerome went to and stuff, you know.
I thought it was tomorrow. I thought there was something tomorrow.
No, that's going to be this coming Saturday.
You know what? Too many people have been leaving here around our way, but But I hear you. I hear you.
I know.
Too many people believe it. We lost what we
want. That's for sure. Hey, listen, I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not gonna, you know, stay on that there and everything. I was just, you know, listening to what you were saying and stuff, in general and stuff, and about that gentleman that came to Youngstown State there. What was it, yesterday or day before yesterday?
No, yesterday, Dr. Ben Carson,
okay,
last night.
Yesterday. All right then. You know, I think that he's a very intelligent person. But, you know, the thing that I have, Jeff, you know, and you know how I am about this whole situation and stuff in general, I still believe, even though a lot of his ratings is down and stuff, I still believe that President Obama is really trying to do the best he can in general. I think he has made some mistakes. I don't deny that. But the thing I would just wanted to say, what I wanted to stay on, was the fact that that speaker yesterday, I understand you probably yourself, my guy, but probably yourself, you know, you enjoy what he was saying and stuff because it more or less leads to how you feel about the situation. But I also heard a gentleman who I really enjoyed listening to for a while. I happened to catch him on the Arado show that was talking, you know, basically about what the president has done and how this thing that's going on right now is nothing more than just some things that the president has already went through. When you think about this thing that we're in, this buckle that we're in right now pertaining to insurance to cover everybody, you know, and health welfare, is the fact that it was the same situation with jobs and stuff like that. It's just the point that it just seems like it's nothing that's being done. I hear different callers and stuff sometime on a rattle, sometime on your show, Grammy, your show, Jeff. You know, I mean, It's just the fact that they don't like the president, and that's what it is. But it's all good because there's a lot of people that still do like him. Maybe the polls show it is not. He ain't quite as popular right now as he once was when he got the job.
Well, if they disagree with what he's doing, bro, it's not that they don't like him. And they don't disagree.
Well,
they disagree with him.
You know,
his backers did not lead him.
Right, right.
Go ahead.
But let me say, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, his backers didn't leave him. They don't agree with what he's doing. And there's a good reason why they don't, because they're getting screwed left and right.
Well, you know what, Jeff? I can see what you're saying on that, but I'm going to disagree with you on this point, is the fact there are people that just don't like him. I mean, you might not.
I agree with that.
That. But
how many people?
You can hear
how many
I'm
people
saying.
Do you and I know? Did you and I know? Because we're from the same hood. Don't
right.
like Bush, and didn't like Bush, and didn't like him
you're
for all 8 years that he.
You're right.
Huh?
You're talking to one right now.
Okay.
You know,
so once again, it's
it.
All relative. Did you not like Bush because he was a white man?
I'm gonna give that 80-20. And not in his favor either.
You're a racist. You are a racist.
I am to a point.
I'm ashamed of you. I'm ashamed, man.
Well, I gotta keep it 100. You know that.
I didn't raise you to be that racist.
I know that's right.
See. So listen. Why is it so bad if somebody else doesn't like him for the same reason you didn't like Bush?
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, they thought Bush's policies were bad, and
right.
so they did what they did. Okay, and so now I don't disagree that there's people that don't like him just because he's black. There's some that just like that. But when you're talking about what he's doing to the American system and the redistribution of the wealth and the fundamental changes
right.
that he's talking about making, you're talking about upsetting a lot of apple carts, and it has not a doggone thing to do with him being black. It has to do with his policy. And his policy is very destructive.
Okay.
Very,
all right.
very, very destructive. So,
you know. Well, I, you know, like I said, you know what, Jeff, I hear what you're saying, and you, my brother, on that, but we just kind of disagree. We're on different sides of the fence. You see it as being very destructive. I see it. I don't think it's as quite as destructive as yourself and maybe some others that feel the same way you do about that in general. I feel, yes, he has made
Rich,
some mistakes. But one
Rich,
thing I do hear him saying, yes, go ahead.
Before you go any further, I'm going to ask you a question. What do you
yes.
like? What's something you like to eat?
Oh, man. I mean, a whole gang of a nice big sweet potato and steak, brother.
Okay, you like steak.
Yes,
now,
sir.
if you go to the doctor after this been implemented
mm-hmm.
and say you got to be on one of these exchange plans, guess what? If your cholesterol
yes.
is too high, they're going to tell you, you know what, Reg? You're going to have to cut back on this steak.
Right.
Okay, that's not their place.
Yeah.
Yeah, 330-318, you're in the air.
I got to get this. Hello, Jeff, it's Mark. Mark Colucci.
Hey,
how
Mark, hold 1 second, because I'm finishing up with my boy Reg here. But
okay.
Reg, that's the bottom
yeah.
line. You don't want that
okay.
that control being put over your life. But he thinks that he knows the best for you. That's why he made these plans and put them out there with his level of what he thinks is right for you to have.
Okay. Okay.
That's what we're fighting against. It's not that we don't need health care, because we do. If you had heard Dr. Ben last night, I'm going to talk about this a little bit later today. You know, a little bit later. He was brilliant
right,
in
right,
what he said
right.
that we needed to do.
Right.
And,
well, he
and,
may be
and,
right, Jeff, you know, on some things, brother. I'm not saying that he's not right on maybe a few things in general, but I'm just saying most people that agree pretty much what he said in general. I wasn't there. I just caught some of it on
I
the
need
news.
The pill.
Some of the things he had said. But
okay.
I'm just saying that. Pardon me?
No, that was the other caller talking at his house
sorry.
Somewhere.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying that, you know, I mean, yourself and the other people that agree with it, that's fine. I have no problem with that and stuff like that. And but I just want to get in there that, you know, the man has made some mistakes, and he's already has said that he has made mistakes. I think this thing possibly has a chance of working out if given a chance. I mean, that's my position on it in general and stuff. I'm not saying you guys are wrong. It takes two sides in order to make things work. But
you're right.
My position of it is the fact that I feel that it takes time, you know. And I still say again, like a gentleman said on the show, Ronald's show last week, you know, instead of fighting this and stuff, let's give this a chance. If it don't work, vote it out.
You can't vote. No, it's not that easy.
I don't
because you have
what the problem is.
You don't understand. You have destroyed the best medical system in the world. It may not have been delivered
yeah,
to everybody
what
here.
What I'm saying, though, brother, I understand that what you're saying about that. But the point of the matter is that let's give it a chance first and see if it doesn't work. If it doesn't work, what's the problem? And you know, I mean. He's not
got to
no
go to break.
Hey,
got to go to break, Reg. You can talk
you
on the other side of the break.
Give it up, brother.
Okay, we got
to
talk on the other side of the break. Mark, hold on. It's just like saying, give cancer a chance. Let it destroy and see if it doesn't destroy everything. Be right back.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. The trial has started for the man accused of killing a Canfield family nearly 40 years ago. 64-year-old James Ferreira is on trial for the triple murder back in 1974. Ben Marsh, a security officer at the GM Lordstown plant, his wife Marilyn, and their 4-year-old daughter Heather were murdered inside their home. The parents were shot, the little girl beaten to death. Jury selection has started in the trial. Gary Swiegen, the man hired by Youngstown State University to help the school's enrollment issues, started his first day of work yesterday. Swiegen comes with a good track record. He most recently worked at Bowling Green State University, where he helped increase enrollment by more than 15% over a 6-year time period. And the Youngstown pastor injured in a traffic accident is paralyzed from the waist down. A spokesperson for the St. Paul the Apostle Church says Father Stephen Popovich is recovering at St. Elizabeth Hospital. Last week, his car slid on ice and hit a pickup truck and a tree. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
This is Becky Wall from Deering Compressor. Are you looking for a career and not just a job? Then we may be looking for you. We continue to grow here at Deering, and we are searching for talented, trained individuals to fill our wide range of positions from entry-level to quality inspectors, machine assemblers, and certified welders. Deering Compressor is proud to support the area's local education and training centers that have developed programs and degrees to prepare our local workforce for the jobs of the future.
Some of our area's finest training centers include TCTC Adult Training Center, Columbiana County Career and Technical Center Adult Education, Adult Career Center Mahoning County CTC, Chauffin CTC Adult Training Center, Eastern Gateway Community College, and ETI Technical College.
Deering Compressor, proud sponsor of Putting America and Our Valley Back to Work. Check us out at DeeringComp, that's DeeringComp.com.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, your Northeast Ohio Ford dealers announced the Built Ford Tough Truck event. Lease a new 2013 F-150 Super Cab or Super Duty with 0% financing for 60 months. Visit drive1ohio.com for details.
The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren.
Retrievers, Labradors, Goldens are the main breeds that come through our door, but we'll train anything with four legs and a tail. My husband and I own a kennel. We train hunting dogs and also have a boarding and grooming business. Our dogs, they're athletes, and we feed them very quality food. You can't get enzymes in a commercial dog food because they cook it at such a high heat that so much important nutrition is just cooked right out of it. But adding Dynavite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000. Dynavite helps them obtain that better nutrition that is hard to find in commercial foods.
The omega-3 fatty acids, zinc.
There's flaxseed oil, the seaweed, the kelp.
They don't shed as much, and they're all over very healthy dogs.
We tell everybody we know about Dynavite.
DINOVITE.
Dynavite's the bomb.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Listen to News Talk 600 Saturdays at noon for On Earth as It Is in Heaven and Father Andrew, pastor of St. Michael's Orthodox Church. Saturdays at noon on News Talk 600.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
And we're back once again, afternoon with Tracy and friends. Jeff here in the air chair, talking to you about what's on our mind and giving you a little bit of what's letting you get in a little bit of what's on your mind. And, you know, I got criticized today. I was at the breakfast table with the old guys, the old geezers, and they say, yeah, every time somebody disagrees with you, you cut them off. That's why we don't call, and that's why we don't listen to you, because they're Mr. Ritter. Well, I said, well, how did you know I cut somebody off? Well, there's one day when I did listen in there. Well, my point is this. When you start to answer something that we're talking about and you start out with a false statement, we interrupt you. If your statement is false, we interrupt you before you get there because guess what? You're in error. And you can't build on a premise like that. But that's okay. 330-318. Mark, you're in the air. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, my friend. I'm glad to see you sticking up for your principles. I admire that.
Well, thank you, sir.
And so once And so once more, we go into the breach together to fight for the principles that made this country great.
Mm-hmm.
I may not agree with you, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. I'm going to make a statement here. I'll come out and even go further.
Mm-hmm.
Channel 20, WFMJ, Channel 21, and the Youngstown Vindicator, who are proudly boast they are partners in publication and news.
Mm-hmm.
WKBN, Channel 27, and their radio, 570 AM, and WYTV. What occurred last night, and it's coming from the heart because in all probability, I want to hear this man, but I probably won't agree with his underlying message. But be that as it may, what occurred in Youngstown, Ohio last night was a classic example of a very, very dangerous thing, and I'm going to name it for what it is, censorship. Blatant censorship. Now, they can't say, gee, we didn't know he was here. Gee, there was nobody there. We didn't have enough room in the paper. Come on, look. You have to understand that the people out there have to know that this did not happen by accident. And so what is the other possibility? Some part of the establishment contacted these media people and they squashed his appearance. There's only two choices.
Well, now before we take it too far, there is a component that I have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the media was not allowed access to him.
Mm-hmm.
And they were only allowed to show a snippet of 30-second spot of him even being there, but they could show that with no recording of his voice.
Well,
now,
here comes.
I recorded it, but I don't know whether I can actually legally play it. But it should be because it was brilliant. And,
well, what
and
about
I'm,
the Vindicator?
The Vindicator could have been there.
It's a Republican on paper.
Well, this is one of. Well, I don't know if it's a Republican on paper or not. But
I'll tell you straight out. Let me tell you straight out. It is.
Okay.
And they censor things two ways. One, they will write about you and not tell your side of the story, or they will completely ignore you. How can the Youngstown Vindicator, with a national figure who packed that auditorium, not have a story, a paragraph, something
an international
in there?
Figure.
Well, tell me.
He's done brain surgery around the world, successful.
Okay. So we didn't have a lot of high school football games last night that would have commanded all of the media. And so here we go with more of the brain drain in this city. But let me ask you, and if you feel like you're on the spot, kick it back to me. Was this by accident that the Vindicator overlooked this, or was it intentional?
I think it was intentional because there was a blackout on them mm-hmm. having access to him. And that's
so
what
that
I believe.
Was their way. Is that their way of snubbing him back?
Yes, it's not him. It's because of his relationship with the Speaker's Bureau and his exclusive contract with Fox News. So
and I understand that. But if Hillary Clinton came with the same
mm-hmm.
restrictions, and you know, I probably will support her if she came with
oh,
the same
please,
restrictions.
Oh, please, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that.
You know. Would
you don't like me if
paper?
You support Hillary Clinton.
Would she still have made the paper?
Oh, my God. You'd have had her face all over the paper.
Yeah. Now, I know there's restrictions and copyright and all that stuff, but I just don't get it. I would have liked to listen to what he had to say about abortion and adoption myself. You mentioned that.
Well, nobody got to ask that question, but they asked a few others, and he was absolutely, absolutely brilliant. And I'm going to read. My version of what he did because I can't give it to you word for word, but I'm going to give you
mm-hmm.
what he said about health care, one.
Well,
and then
I'm about educating
inner city kids.
All right, this is what I'm going to do because I have a cable guy here. I'm going to hang up and listen, but I just want to ask you one thing. What
mm-hmm.
was it about the Speaker's Bureau that prevented the Vindicator from just putting an article that he appeared and spoke and drew a big crowd?
Nothing. Nothing.
I'm going to hang up and listen.
And the crowd, yeah, the crowd that was there, they didn't want to report if they are against him because the crowd was huge and it was very, very supportive of Dr. Carson. Thank you, Mark, for your call.
Thank you. Okay.
Call back later if you get a chance. Local caller, you're in there.
Jeff?
Yes, sir.
I happen to be
Hello.
Driving in Boardman about a half an hour or so ago, and I mentioned the appearance of Dr. Carson.
Yes, sir.
I happen to remember just 40 years ago, probably a month or two ago, I'm walking down on Phelps Street in front of City Hall, and your father was just leaving the court. He must have had a case, and we met there at the corner. And we said, let's go in the Hasty House and have lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So we walked right across the street and into the little Hasty House, and we had some soup and sandwich. And we got to talking about it's not so important where you come from or how you start, but what you do once you start. And that reminded me of the story of Dr. Carson. And he related to me his background and his origin.
Right.
And I related my background and origin to him, which was not dissimilar from his, because my mother died when I was 12 months old. Sister, 14, five kids, no pension, no income, not even a house. And he related the bus station and all of this, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Yes, sir.
And we had a conversation that lasted for an hour and a half over lunch, which again, was stated again to some extent by Dr. Carson and his illiterate mother insisting that they strive to learn. And that was one thing that Attorney Green and I discussed, was the key to success is a person's commitment to learn. And if you have that commitment, then other people will teach you. And as a result of that, he became a successful attorney. And I'm still trying, 80 years old, still trying to be successful.
Oh, my God.
After all this time. But still, though, it reminded me of that incident with him. And I know you didn't know about it, but I thought I would just call and mention to you that even 40 years ago, we had the same thoughts and the same ideas and the same philosophy of life that I hear you on occasion that you profess. And I can see where you got it from. So I just thought I'd call and relate to you that incident that your dad and I had 40 years ago sitting over a $3.50 lunch.
Oh, wow.
Hasty House that I've paid $150 since and got four left. So it goes to show that things do come around, and there are success stories. And if people just look around, there's a lot of success stories that they don't even recognize.
This is true.
So I just thought that it is a tribute to him as a man, and also to you today, a tribute to you as a son.
Well,
well,
Jim, I appreciate your call always, and I appreciate your support and your support through the years, and even at the end when I had to get some things together for Dad. And but let me just say this. You are absolutely a huge success. My belated condolences on your loss, because I knew about it, and I was waiting on a time to call, and I let time get away from me.
Well, I understand. I do appreciate your thoughts.
But yes, sir. And the thing is, you're a huge success because you are an example to those of us that can see you and still doing what you do and not sitting down and getting, you know, leaving things alone, still trying to help people, still trying to make life better for others as well.
I would hope so. And that's what your dad. I knew him for over 40 years, and up until he passed recently, and still we have that same kind of philosophy, because both of us received tremendous help from a lot of other people, And as a result of that, we lived as long as we did. So, again, so thank you so much. I don't have anything
that's
important to tell you to understand a philosopher like some of these people that you talk
sure.
to. Still, I just wanted to relate to you a story that I knew that you had not heard, and it kind of tied into Dr. Carson's story.
Well, I appreciate that, and absolutely call any time.
Well, thank you so much.
Hey, chastise if you need. You have my number.
No. Well, I think when you start chastising, I think first look at yourself.
And that's what Dr. Carson more or less said last night.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Oh, my God. You would have loved what he said.
I would have enjoyed it tremendously. I've read his story in various publications over the last years or so, and I'm sorry that I missed it. So, again, thank you so much, and always good to talk to you, and hope to see you sometime.
Yes, sir. I will make sure that happens.
Thanks so much.
All right. God bless. Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye.
Afternoon with Tracy and Franz. We're in the air. Unlisted caller, did you want to speak? Because I thought you were up and ready to come.
I was waiting patiently.
Okay, go ahead, my friend.
This is Brown Beasley. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
You know, I find it unfortunate that someone as brilliant a surgeon as Dr. Carson allows himself to be used in the way that he's being used. He's a surgeon. His political opinions, I don't know why his political opinions are important. I really don't.
Because they're brilliant.
Well, when someone compares the Affordable Care Act with slavery, and they say it in a straight face,
mm-hmm.
And anyone considers that brilliant, I mean, it's I guess it's brilliant for a talk show
oh.
host.
Brown, we're going to get interrupted here in a second.
And you know, and those guys that you had breakfast with this morning, they told you the truth.
Well, I'll tell you what, you stay on, and I'll be with you right after the top of the hour, and we'll talk about it. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We'll be right back.
Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. With a new ABC News Washington Post poll showing a record 57% of Americans disapprove of the Affordable Care Act, a new push on Capitol Hill today from Republicans to scrap Obamacare. House GOP leader Eric Cantor called on the Senate to join a bipartisan group of lawmakers demanding drastic changes.
The president broke a major promise to the American people, and now it is hard for them to trust any assurances under this law.
ABC's Ann Compton at the White House with more on how the troubled rollout of the healthcare website has affected the president's poll numbers.
The drag on President Obama's leadership and even trustworthiness has pulled him into negative numbers in just the last month, a career low, favorable 42%, 55% disapproving of the job he is doing. Healthcare reform itself has similar numbers. The poll is evenly split on whether the Affordable Care Act can ever be fixed.
A Virginia state senator and former candidate for governor, Cray Deeds, is hospitalized after being stabbed at his home in Western Virginia. Another person said to be his son, Gus, was found dead inside the home from a gunshot wound. More than 200,000 toy dolls from China have been confiscated at several U.S. ports due to high levels of phthalates, banned chemical compounds that pose a safety threat, especially to kids. A new report from ShopperTrack predicts the best day to go shopping this holiday season to avoid the packed crowds will be Wednesday, December 4th.
The specials won't be particularly better, the discounts won't be particularly better, but the ambiance, you know, just the whole experience should prove to be a better experience than the crush of the crowds that we'll see on the busiest days of the year.
That's ShopperTrack founder Bill Martin. On Wall Street, the Dow is up a fraction. This is ABC News.
The following is a paid commercial announcement.
A warning to consumers about a costly used car scam sweeping the nation. More than a million cars today have a rollback odometer, according to new research from Carfax. The vehicle history company also reports that nearly 200,000 new cases of odometer fraud happen every year. Chris Basso with Carfax has more.
Odometer fraud is a calamity for car buyers. Innocent victims lose as much as 80% of the hard-earned money they spend on a rolled-back car, not to mention expensive repairs and unexpected maintenance. In fact, this scam costs people more than $760 million a year.
Odometer fraud is in every state, but buyers in California, Nevada, Massachusetts, New York, and Texas are most at risk. Basso has tips to protect yourself.
Check that the car's wear and tear is consistent with the odometer. Ask the seller for service records and note the mileage on them. Also make sure to get a Carfax report and have the car inspected by a mechanic.
Carfax now lets you check for potential odometer fraud for free. Go to carfax.com/ODO. I'm Rob Dalton.
The Oxford Dictionary's Word of the Year for 2013 is selfie. ABC's Scott Goldberg reports.
You're visiting New York on a busy street. Take a selfie. On a beach, take a selfie. It's something people with smartphones do for whatever reason.
Obviously, your bed is the best place to take your selfie.
Videos like this one might mock these 21st century self-portraits.
You need to take like 70 photos of yourself.
But the editors of Oxford English Dictionaries say use of the word selfie has increased by 17,000% since last year.
Here's some options.
Leaving no doubt selfie should be the word of the year for 2013.
The surprise face.
Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
The Postal Service releasing 20 stamps honoring Harry Potter, and that's irked some philatelists, stamp collectors who complain Potter isn't a leading light of the arts, letters, or athletics. They find him crass and say he's not even American. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
I need a data backup solution for my business to replace
Bosch is the quietest dishwasher brand in the U.S., and now Bosch dishwashers feature a new third rack that gives you 30% more capacity compared to Bosch two-rack models. See yours at Lowe's today.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios. There are many reasons why Ford is the best-selling brand in Northeast Ohio, like attractive leasing and the locally built EcoBoost engine, giving you both power and efficiency. Visit drive1ohio.com for details.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
Want to help those affected by Typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines? To donate, visit philippinesrelief.adcouncil.org. That's philippinesrelief.adcouncil.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
That in honor of the new polls out that show 57% of the people do not want the ACA, as my friend from California here is going to be talking about here. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends, Jeff in the Air Chair here on WSOM 600 AM live, broadcast out from Salem, Ohio, all across the fruited area up here in Ohio, northern Ohio, PA, and out to Cleveland and beyond, out to Erie and beyond. And here it is that people see the wheels falling off the bus. They see the sky falling, but they don't believe. They don't believe that the wheels came off or the sky is falling. And so I bring back my friend, Brown Beasley from up in the San Francisco Bay Area. Brown, finish your dissertation so that I can...
Won't be a dissertation. It'll be a short thesis. I'll even shorten it up more than that. I'll try and stick to the point. Mm-hmm. When Carson likens the Affordable Care Act as the worst thing since slavery, you see,
mm-hmm.
mainstream political leaders on the right, they can't talk like that. They always have to give the appearance that they're above the fray, they're above the dirt, the mud, and the hate slinging. So they leave it to a well-paid stalking horse like Carson to do the dirty work for them. But, you know, that's only part of Carson's work to the right and to the conservatives. What he does is he gives the illusion that the GOP is a race-neutral party that has a bunch of big-name African-Americans as their visible point men and women who speak with authority. And it's sad that this of shameless black panders and hucksters that the GOP trots out and puts in front of TV cameras during the past few years has been endless and embarrassing. But they seem to keep coming. Comparing the Affordable Care Act to slavery is a perfect example of how the right manages to weld race and its current signature hit issue of the health care law into one package to play on right-wing hysteria over the law.
Do you know why he said that, Brown, while you keep going?
Because it's the government intrusion into your life, but you can't compare.
Well, not just government intrusion into your life.
Incorrect.
It's
a stretch. It's a stretch and a reach to compare the Affordable Care Act to slavery. I'm going to let you go ahead and bloviate on this, but I'm going to finish my other point first, okay?
All right, sir.
We can continue on forever. We know where you stand.
No, you don't.
In fact, we know generally we do. At least I do.
Okay.
I can tell you your positions on most issues. It's a little bit far to the right of Attila the Hun, but that's okay. when the gentleman that you had breakfast with this morning told you that you will interrupt people and cut them off, and your defense was it's because they're wrong. I'll give you an example.
Not because you're wrong.
Doing it now. You got to let me.
Yes, I sure am, because you made a false statement, and that's when I interrupt you.
Thought, but you
when you make a false statement, when you
right.
make
well,
a false
an,
statement,
give an example
I can't
where I
let
made a
you continue
statement.
To build on it.
Well,
I'm going to
give an example where I made a correct statement that mm-hmm. you disagreed with, and you totally threw out. Without even knowing what you were talking about.
Go ahead.
And then it was defended by others. I think we were talking about health care or something, and Cuba came up, and I'm like, well, you know, a lot of people go to Cuba for health care because they have an excellent health care system. And you went, ha, whoo, ha, no, nonsense. Ha. I said, no, but Jeff, I got interrupted. Pianchi came on and said, yeah, you know, they got a good health care system. We in Cuba. We sponsor a girl that goes down there. And it's practically free for her to get her training all the way through to becoming a doctor. Then I think mm-hmm. Alex came on the line and defended, well, that's just one example. But Dr. Carson is being used for just the reasons that I said he was, and it's too bad. He's an excellent surgeon. He's a man that brought himself up from his bootstraps. He's an exceptional person in that respect, and I don't see why he chooses to go on this path that he's on and why he's allowing himself to be used like that.
Okay, once again, let's go back to your the healthcare thing, and then I will deal with what you think he's being used for. Okay, his correlation to the healthcare law and slavery was absolutely apt, and this is why it was absolutely apt. This frickin' law will have control over every portion of your life. You will not be able to move unless you obey the edicts of the health care law. You can't eat what you want to unless you obey the edicts of the health care law. You cannot drink what you want to unless you obey the edicts of the health care law. This is why it is like slavery, because it controls every aspect of your life. This is what I, as a conservative, am against. This is why I totally agree with what Dr. Carson said about health care and how the system should work, and even about taxes and how the system should work. The man is brilliant. Hello?
Let me ask you a question before you go on to your next point.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't get too much for even, you know, somebody who's relatively smart to handle. How – I heard your talk with the guy before about that, yeah, the doctor says that maybe you shouldn't have steak if your cholesterol is high, and maybe you shouldn't. I go to the doctor.
It's not your place to tell me that.
If you think that diet doesn't have any relation to health problems, high blood pressure,
not
cholesterol,
the point.
If you think that diet doesn't make a difference, then your head's in the sand.
Not the point.
Brown.
Brown, then stop.
Why don't you act civil for once? What is the penalty under the Affordable Care Act that's going to stop you from eating what you want? If the doctor suggests that you don't eat steak and you continue to eat steak, what happens to you then? They put you in the gulag? What happens?
They don't have to put you in the gulag.
Do they whip you?
All they have to do is raise your prices because you want to eat a steak or drink a beer or anything like that, and you got high cholesterol.
Premiums and prices for the past 10 years.
Once again, the government has no right to tell you that. They are not your mother, father, husband, or wife. Kiss my left behind, government, because I am not going to listen to what you want to say about 64-ounce drinks in New York. In fact, I'm going to find a 120-ounce container and pour 2 liters in it till it's full to the brim and walk the streets of New York. Understand? Okay, thank you. That's what I'm trying to tell you, Brown.
Chain smoke 3 packs of cigarettes while you're at it.
If that's what you want to do.
I agree. That's what you want to do, and I don't see anything in this law that's stopping people from doing what they want to do.
They can tell you to stop, and they can make you stop by withholding, because they gave you the plan. They can take it away, Brown. Don't you understand that?
You don't understand what you're talking about, Jeff.
Yes, I do. Whatever the government gives, they can take back. Ask Venezuela.
But you have no proof of this.
Ask Venezuela.
What does Venezuela have to do with the United States of America? What does Venezuela have to do with the
Venezuela gave
nothing.
Their people...
Give me a break, Brown. Why don't you do your homework and do better than this?
Brown, why don't you listen?
That has nothing to do with it.
Oh, yeah, it does. Because this system is a socialistic system. I didn't say it was socialized medicine. I said the system is a socialistic system. And guess what? Every nation in the world is having trouble with it that has more than 20 people in it.
So let me ask you this.
And they
Is Medicare a socialistic system?
Pretty much, yes. But
Is Youngstown State a socialistic system? It's a state university.
Go
to public schools or private schools?
I went to public schools.
Was that a socialistic education?
Pretty much, but it's okay because we all agreed to do it.
So why aren't you complaining about that as well if you're against it?
Because we all agreed to do it. We did not get forced by half of the wanna-gimmies to do it. And those that think that they have a right to tell you what you should do in your life, what to do. That's the problem with this. It's not about that it's not right to do certain things here or there. We're the land of the free, not the land of the freely taken care of by the government, so you got to listen to what they tell you. The government is supposed to be of, for, and by the people. not overlording the people.
If you believe that rhetoric word for word, you believe that rhetoric word for word, I feel sorry for you for being so naive.
Okay, well, Brown, that's what it says it is, and that's what our Constitution says it is. So that's all I can go on, and then when somebody subverts
says,
the
our Constitution says a lot of things, and and it, you know, and it'd probably be redundant to bring up the fact that so much of the population was enslavement when the was enslaved when the Constitution was put forth, and that it only really protected white male landowners. It had no provisions for women. Women couldn't vote for another 150 years, 140 years.
Right. But guess what?
Jeff. It's rhetoric.
No, it's not rhetoric. It's true.
It's not true.
That same Constitution allowed people to get out of slavery, and the Three-Fifths Clause absolutely destroyed the South's ability to have a monopoly on being able to vote and vote in law. To keep people in slavery. That's the point. This country has overcome many of its negatives and wrongs.
That's the beauty of this country.
Absolutely,
this
when you start forcing people once again.
The language in that document wasn't true for probably the majority of the people that lived in the country.
Doesn't matter. It's true now to all the people.
Yes, it does matter. That means that it's not true. I thought you said you were against untrue statements.
Well, no, what I said
you can't have
is
it
now,
both ways.
You can't have it both ways because in time
take a stand
you did
in the ground,
right.
Jeff. Stand for principle.
Okay,
stand
the principle is this.
Once.
Okay, I
instead
am.
Of,
standing
instead,
on the,
instead of some ideology.
Of Alabama.
I hear those old people at breakfast cheering. God bless them.
Yeah.
They're saying, they're saying, go get them, Brown Beasley.
I hope they are. I hope they listen and do say that. But, Brown, when you make somebody, once you get people freed, like the slaves were, didn't say it was good and clean, but like they were, and then you force them to do something again, you're taking them back into bondage. That's what the man meant, and the man was absolutely correct. Unbelievable? No, it's not. You must buy. It has not happened in the United States ever that you are forced to buy something that you don't necessarily want.
Yes, you are.
You guys are going to go back and forth for 2 and 3 hours because y'all been going for 15 minutes.
That's why I let you go.
Yeah, but what I was trying to say, the point I was trying to make, you easily can keep going after this.
No.
Three things I heard. Education is outperforming as far as raising rates. It's going up faster than insurance. Nobody's saying anything. State universities, state funding you, so that's not a good system that's being ran right. Medicare is going to be bankrupt in what they supposedly 20 years, they say. Medicare, all these different Social Security, we know that's going to be bankrupt too. So everything that they're doing, that the government's doing, they're pretty much failing at. The thing about Constitution not being true, the thing is the Constitution, when it was written, included within it clauses set up for amendments, which then allow for the rest of the changes that were made that to make things right, as we all agree they should have been.
Let's talk for a moment about a great...
Go ahead.
By default, that does make it true because it had... because there were people back then that were against it and people were for it. And so as time changed, now look, I was against it. You know, I'm black, so of course I'm against it. But I'm just saying, when it was written in its entirety, the way it was written, it included the ability to be amended, which it was properly amended like it should have been. So that doesn't mean the document was flawed because everybody didn't, you know, certain people didn't have rights at the time.
Yeah, after how many millions of people bled and suffered and died and were lynched?
It doesn't matter. You corrected
it.
It
does matter.
You had cancer till you had an operation.
What you're doing is saying, okay, so screw the Constitution. That's the only document I know right now
that
even tries to give us rights in this country is the Constitution. You take the Constitution away, black people will suffer even worse. Indians, everybody you're trying to speak up for, women. Look, somebody can come along, whoever has the force, can come in and force their way on people, without, at least the Constitution gives you some sort of grounds to say, hey, that's not right. So I don't think there's nothing wrong. Well, I think when I hear black people riding against the gun, I'm like, well, what other rights do you have? What other, okay, take the Constitution, like, throw that in the toilet. Like, what rights will you have when they start marching you off in the chains? And we fought, well, you just going to have to get a gun and go to war. That's all I see left after that.
Matt, you're in the air.
I'd just like to add to that and say, you know, back when, first of all, back when America started in, you know, in the 1700s, there wasn't any abolition of slavery in any other nation. We were pretty much the forebears and the leaders of this. And when we introduced the Constitution and our founding documents, we had left them, as Alabama said, wide open for it to be amended, and we allowed the path to happen as quickly as possible. The thing is, you can't start a nation and write founding documents when you have a mindset in the country, or at that time anyway, separating from England, when slavery was just a part of life. You can't just turn around and say, okay, you're free. People aren't going to buy it. You're going to have you won't even get close to where we are today. You'll never get those founding documents written. So it really had to be done the way it was done.
And we abolished it. Go ahead, 724.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Good. What's up, Larry?
Well, you know, they're using Carson's words like the slavery. And if you look at slavery, first of all, you say slavery here in the United States, Americans of the United States have a monopoly on slavery. Slavery's been around since the dawn of time. And when you look up the definition of slavery, that's what the analogy is. I mean, they ripped Sarah Palin a couple weeks ago for the same thing where she was talking about debt. You can be a slave to debt, which a lot of our college graduates that have to go and get money from, you know, the Pell Grant, or not so much the grants, but the loans, the Perkins and the Staffords, they are a slave to that debt. And so
the
that's
Bible
not
says.
Denigrating. That's not denigrating. That's not racist. That's a true fact. If you have to service that debt, you're a slave to that debt. No, just like what the analogy Dr. Carson's making is, we'll be a slave to the Affordable Care Act. They're going to dictate to you what you can eat, what you can. I mean, you know, the big thing, and if I was a smoker, I mean, I'm not, but the smokers are the ones that are going to get hit out the gate here in 2014. I mean, they're really going to come down. I mean, you know, they've been coming down on tobacco a long time, Jeff, but they're the ones that the young and the smokers. But you know, this whole Affordable Care Act, Jeff, what have you said, or the Tea Party said, or anybody that talked about this since its passage? What did they lie about? Everything that they warned about has come true.
Every
well,
single thing.
Just that. But if you look at it, when you start talking about a law being passed, it has to be enforced. Eventually, in order to enforce this, you're going to have to start taking people's blood samples and taking their urine so you can know what people are doing without, because they'll lie to you. And in order to break down illegal stuff, that's how the government works. They think, okay, this is illegal for you to not tell us the truth and tell us that you're smoking, so we're going to take your hair samples. We're going to take urine. We're going to take blood. They're going to really get in. When they do that, they can know what cancer you are predisposed to, if you're predisposed to diabetes. And when you start talking about politicians knowing people's weakness as far as health-wise, I don't want them having that information that I have a propensity to cancer or
not at
diabetes.
Hey, exactly.
Jeff, George Orwell said it best way back when. He said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak the truth. So you see people out here hating on a brother that he actually grew up poor. Now, his story is more compelling than Obama's story. And I like Obama's story.
He didn't have a poor day in his life.
Not a poor day in his life. His mom had a third degree education. She made them, Jeff, one of the things that killed me is when he talked about in his book, and I've heard him say it in lectures, one of the things was she stressed education to him. She made him and his brother do book reports to her.
Yep.
And they didn't know that she couldn't read. She had no
That's right.
idea she would sit down with them and grade their reading, and she had no idea what they were doing. But her message, even that, you know, my dad, I shared this with you, he's a functional illiterate, but he made sure I had my homework done, and my brothers and my sister had their homework done, even though he couldn't do it. You know what I mean?
You know what, though, to Brown's argument, I think he had a point in that. People like Alan West, I think Alan West had a chance, but he's been on MSNBC, Fox, and he gets on there, and he says some of the most combative, anger-driven things. And I'm sitting like, dude, you may have had a shot at getting a nomination until you got on and called all Muslims terrorists. Or you know, just saying a bunch of crazy. Sometimes you don't need to just grandstand and say anything.
Okay, I mean, I
because
understand.
People take those sound bites. We're dealing with a media that wants pretty much the destruction of all religion. I mean, that's what we're dealing with. So you can't get up there and just say anything in out of a emotional moment and think it's not going to go against you. So I think you do have to be wise. I think Ben Carson has a good shot, but he needs to be careful what he says, because every time a black guy runs, they say, what do you think of food stamps? They're going to always ask you the food stamp question. And every guy, like Herman Cain, fed into it. Get off your lazy butt to the. No, don't do that. Don't say that, because people are waiting for you to say that.
Right.
So they can
right.
follow you into a certain category. Oh, see, he's an Uncle
and
Tom.
Kill you.
Don't listen to
right.
him.
412, you're there, Alex.
Hey, Jeff. I've been hanging on a little while. I wanted to comment on the whole thing with the Constitution, you know. I just want to say real quick that, you know, what we have to realize about our country is the founders of this country were in they had just declared a revolution against the greatest army on the earth at the time. And so, you know, which is, the British Empire. And so at that time, what we have to realize is that the chartering of this country was so hurried. I mean, they had to rush to inaugurate even George Washington. They just flipped to a random page in the Bible and say, "Here, put your hand over it and take an oath and let's go. We got to get this done." You know, and so people don't realize the context of the Constitution. You know, now granted, you know, I don't think that even given enough time, they would, you know, they probably everybody wouldn't have had their rights. You know. So I'm not arguing that. But at the same time, they needed to have just a baseline document so that everybody could agree to that all the colonies those initial 13 states could agree to, but that was a living, breathing document so that they can continue to work on through the years. Because what people don't realize is that when the nation was first formed, we didn't even have a Bill of Rights. So nobody even had the right to bear arms or any of these the amendments, first four that we like to talk about so much, or freedom of speech or anything. No one even, not even white men, had those rights, because it was that's why they're called amendments. You know, the Bill of Rights, because things were so hurried at that time because they just wanted to charter a new nation to declare themselves independent to fight against the British, that there was really there wasn't enough time to work through those details.
They made the ability to have amendments, which
exactly.
was a very wise move. Brown, you're open.
Exactly.
You're still there. Everybody that has been up is still open. But
I think Alex means well, but combining the Declaration of Independence along with the Constitution. The Constitution was ratified in 1789. The Declaration of Independence was July 4th, 1776. There may be some truth to what he's saying, that it was a rush, but it wasn't that huge of a rush because you have 13 years. And, of course, they had to fight the war. And I think that
Alex,
was a seven-year war. But go ahead.
Yeah,
I'm not confusing it at all.
I mean, you have to also realize that they didn't have modern transportation like we do now. They were on stagecoaches. They were riding on horses to get these because you still had, you know, you the any amendment still had to be ratified by three-fourths of the states, you know, so you still had that requirement, and so they had to, any revisions had to be transported by horseback, and so yes, it takes years to we have to remember the times that these people lived in, so you know, the Constitution wasn't completely ratified till sometime later. You know, over 10 years later, but then, you know, my point though is that the Bill of Rights, those first 10 amendments, was not in the initial. They're not in the initial Constitution. That's why they're called amendments. And what people initially agreed on, what the states agreed on, wasn't even the initial rights, like freedom of speech and all that. So nobody had those rights guaranteed at first, and those things had to be worked out. Let me again state
that back at that time, slavery was so ingrained into society, and that was a society of more than just the U.S. Slavery was so ingrained into the society, you can't have a revolutionary war, turn around and tell everybody that now we're going all good and graceful and getting rid of slavery, and then have an immediate civil war.
Why couldn't you?
Because you would lose everything that those documents meant when you wrote them to be living and breathing.
You lost everything those documents meant by not sticking to the words of the documents. Give me a break.
Wow.
Okay. Well, Brown.
All men are
really
created
Brown.
Equal. When all men are not created equal, no, that's double talk. What he's doing.
It's just
Brown. We changed everything. Hold on, man. We changed things, Brown. As we have a living.
80, it took 80 years.
I don't
years,
give
Jeff.
A doggone how many
how many
years it took. It changed.
How many millions of people suffered?
It doesn't matter, Brown. Brown, what matters
matter
is you.
Millions of people suffer. Wow.
No, because guess what?
Brown,
no, you're taking me to new lows, and this is why. It took a long time to get rid of it, but you got rid of it. That's the point. So now you can move on from there. Okay, now, I can't do nothing about the years. My relatives suffered in slavery. I can name the ones.
Introduced, I know, and you're.
I can name my relatives that were in slavery. Okay, I can name them. I say, but here's the bottom line. It doesn't matter now. You know why? Because I am not a slave now, and we have the ability to change things, but we refuse to do it. We won't change our own things that we need to change. We don't vote unless somebody gets us all ginned up about somebody suppressing our vote, which somebody told me in Ohio. I said, it's impossible to suppress the vote in Ohio because guess what? You can call down to the doggone Board of Elections and get a ballot. Tell me this mess. 330-207, you're in the air.
I'm just getting the call there, man. I have to say I somewhat disagree. You know, one thing I enjoy hearing what Mr. Brown is saying right there, because to me, for my part, it makes a lot of sense what he's saying. Because Dr. King was always about the American dream, and far as we stay strong and be able to accomplish the American dream. But also, my mentor, who I believed in, was Malcolm. And Malcolm said, but I believe that the American dream for black people in this country has been nothing shorter than a nightmare. And I believe that. I believe that. I mean, all this other who shot
the
John
American
stuff,
dream, African American dream,
to
the little black
minute,
child
wait,
is just
wait,
a daydream.
Wait a minute.
I'm with you.
Wait a minute, my brother. Wait a minute.
I was agreeing with you, Red, but go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, and so I'm just saying, it makes a perfect a lot of sense. When we talk about the Constitution and stuff of that time, during that time and stuff, all that, man, was something that wasn't made for us. I hear
it doesn't matter as we go to break.
And Alex and them say some
as
of the things,
go to
you
break,
know, in general.
Reg, I got to shut you down. As we go to break, it doesn't matter because it means
it
for us now. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We'll be right back.
Keegan with your headline news. The trial has started for the man accused of killing a Canfield family nearly 40 years ago. 64-year-old James Ferreira is on trial for the triple murder back in 1974. Ben Marsh, a security officer at the GM Lordstown plant, his wife Marilyn, and their 4-year-old daughter Heather were murdered inside their home. Their parents were shot, the little girl beaten to death. Jury selection has started in the trial. Gary Swiegen, the man hired by Youngstown State University to help the school's enrollment issues, started his first day of work yesterday. Swiegen comes with a good track record. He most recently worked at Bowling Green State University, where he helped increase enrollment by more than 15% over a 6-year time period. And a Youngstown pastor injured in a traffic accident is paralyzed from the waist down. A spokesperson for the St. Paul the Apostle Church says Father Stephen Popovich is recovering at St. Elizabeth Hospital. Last week, his car slid on ice and hit a pickup truck and a tree. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
From the first shots fired at the Battle of Concord in 1775...
Good afternoon, Green Room.
What's going on, Brown? How you doing?
Pretty well. Is this Mike?
No, this is Matt.
Oh, hey, Matt.
I think we got Alabama in here, too, and I thought one other person.
Larry.
Yeah, Larry, that's it. How you doing, Larry?
Good, yourself?
No.
Go ahead, Brown. Dr. Carson brought slavery into this conversation. Not me.
He didn't bring slavery. He made an analogy.
No, you know what?
He made an analogy, and if you look up the, I mean, look at this, Brown. I'm not going to get into an argument with your yellow.
Not an argument.
That's not. Okay.
Well, you have to scream at Jeff. I won't have to scream at you. Jeff screams first, so you have to scream at Jeff back in order
to
get
the decision. He made an analogy, and the analogy is that with this, just like Sarah Palin made an analogy and said that. Our debt, our nation's debt, is putting our kids in slavery, and it's slavery of you're going to be a slave to that debt. Our children, my grandchildren that haven't even been born yet, are going to be paying the stuff that we're spending today. So it's just like you being born into slavery.
You know,
they're not making an analogy. And when you and others in the African American community, of which I am, I'm African American. When you say that, slavery, and we think of all the things that we've heard and seen and witnessed, you know, it brings up an emotional reaction. And you know, when you what they're doing, and when Jeff said Venezuela and what he was trying to lead to, because let's be honest here, the Affordable Care Act is not going to solve this country's problem in health care. It never was intended to. It just won't. Even our president said if he could start a whole brand new system, he would do single payer. But he knows single payer hasn't got a chance in the United States of ever going through. And the reason being, it's not working anywhere else it's ever been. In Great Britain, for instance, if you got money, you don't go to the National Health Care Services hospitals and doctors. You go to a private hospital over in Great Britain. And if you really get sick, you come to the United States to get taken care of, because we've got the best. We've got the best hospitals, best doctors, best system. I'm a Republican, and shame on the Republicans for allowing Democrats to champion health care. We could have did some amazing things with health care, and all Dr. Carson is he's a doctor. He lives it. None of these guys that wrote the bill, very few of them work in or have ever worked in the medical practice. Very few of our representatives have ever been in the medical practice. So they're making decisions that they have no idea if somebody tell them, well, this is the right thing to do. But the problem is most of the people who was making the decision worked for the healthcare lobby, whether it was the insurance or Big Pharma. I mean, I work every day, Brown, with I guess they're going to cut us off.
Good afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We're back. What you doing over there, girl? The,
trying to figure out why my smartphone's no longer smart.
No, you know, smartphones have lost their mind. I don't know what they've done to them. I think they're given a virus, and they just lost it, you know, like something like...
Unbelievable.
What's going on now?
I'm just trying to get all my calendars to sync like they're supposed to.
No. They don't sync like they're supposed to. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Jeff and Tracy, Tracy and Jeff, here on Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. As you know, you can tell who the boss is because it has their name on it. And once again, we are here talking to you about what's on your mind and giving you what's on our mind as well. So somebody said restart your phone and then do it again in the chat room. You can't get in there to see it, so it don't matter.
Restart. My calendar is mine. My Google calendar, my tablet calendar, my phone calendar, they're all supposed to sync into one calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all supposed to say the same thing. And I am doing stuff, and Styx is doing stuff, and it's not doing, and this is bad.
It's not a syncing.
It's not syncing.
But anyway,
15 years
did you hear
old,
any of the show when you're coming in?
No. And
I'm glad
because I was standing outside having a conversation with the PD here, and you were having, he's like, what in the world is going on here? I'm like, that's just Jeff. So I'm hoping that, you know, you've got a good heart, because I don't understand. What's the problem? What was so big?
Brown came on saying how Ben Carson is being used.
By who?
I don't know by who. I guess he thinks that the Republicans are using
him. When a black person gets up and stands something, he got to be used. And if a white person, then they ain't being used.
Yeah, they ain't being used. You know, the black caucus ain't being used.
So you can't tell me, Al Sharpton ain't being used.
Earl Sharpton.
He ain't being used.
Sharpton.
They're all being used.
No, he ain't being used. Of course not. Why would you even bring that up? Why would you even think about Jesse Jackson? Because I can see it coming around. He's not being used either. Uh-huh. You know, Cornel West wasn't being used a long time ago either.
They kicked him out.
Mm-hmm.
He only got bond for $9,000. Who is his daddy? I'm serious. Who is daddy?
This man, he must have really done it and know that he killed that boy.
But can I say this?
Mm-hmm.
This goes back to show you when I got to go to Zimmerman. I don't know what y'all talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He did not kill the kid because he was black. He killed a kid because he got issues. He's crazy. I'm trying to tell y'all. I told y'all he ain't a racist. He's nutty.
I agree with you because he's crazy.
Some folks just nutty. Can you say Rodney King?
Can't we all just get along?
I mean, seriously. Y'all want to pick up the people? Come on now. He just psycho. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I just thought I'd throw that in there.
Mm-hmm.
Zimmerman, y'all talking about, he racist. He killed a black kid because he was a black and he was a hoodie and he got, I told you, the system is racist. But that ain't got nothing to do with him. He's psycho.
Yeah.
Anybody that goes through what he just went through and then decides he wants to go back into it and do it with his girlfriend because his wife left him. Come on now, all y'all got to understand, he crazy. I know I'm not supposed to say the N-word, but he crazy. He's nutty, fruity, loopy. He wackadoodle, all them words to call you, that's just insane. He just got short man syndrome. He looked like a little Muppet. Okay, I'm done.
This is something else. All right, room, you've gotten plenty enough warning. 330-207, you could have got in there. But anyway, anybody else who wants to talk that is not talking yet, all you have to do is push that little one on your dial, and we'll bring you up.
Okay, here are the rules of engagement, because I keep on getting beat up.
Get the room.
These are the rules.
Yeah.
We're going to let everyone get their thought out. Please try to make a small, condensed statement. Try not to give a dialogue, because last night I got to give y'all, why is it when people come up to give people questions, they got to give a whole speech before they give it? But nevertheless, when you get, chime in, but don't crosstalk.
Yeah.
Don't cross off, don't do affirmations, because there are people that are listening and they want to hear what other people have to say. And when we cut across them, you don't ease up, you continue talking, we all continue talking, and it sounds like a big garble. And people turn the channel, which means my ratings go down, and that's a problem.
That's a problem. We don't need that. Okay.
Come up, Jeff.
Room, we are coming up. We don't know what you all were talking about on the break.
Don't care.
We got one, two, three. We got five people not saying nothing right now.
Hey, Larry, how you doing?
Hey, Tracy, how you doing?
I'm doing good. What's going on?
You know, I just finished up. I was talking with Brown when you guys had us on break there, and Jeff made a reference to Venezuela. And where Venezuela comes into the play here is because, like I was saying to Brown, the Affordable Care Act was never meant to be successful. The Affordable Care Act is to push us towards single payer.
Right.
And where Jeff was going, I mean, they have single payer in Cuba. They have it in Venezuela. They have it in Canada. I keep hearing Canada and things, but I'll give you a classic example of what Jeff was talking about, where it's my choice if I want to eat that steak. My brother was just diagnosed with a cancerous tumor in his right kidney. Now, that was last what are we on today? Today's Wednesday. Friday, he got the news. Big C is here, right? Now, this Friday, he's having his kidney taken out. Now, him and his doctor got to sit down, had a conversation on how they wanted the treatment. And he could, you know, the doctor's trying to tell him, hey, I can save part of your kidney here, and we do it. But my brother's like, yeah, then I'm going to have to go through radiation and chemo. He had to have, he could carry on a conversation. They're removing it less than a week later. You know what I mean? You don't have that option in single payer. It's a wait time right now of 9 months in Canada for surgery, just like my brother's going to get. Now, is that going to save him by getting it out quicker? But no, it's going to give him peace of mind, and he gets to make that decision. And that's a decision that it should be up to you and your doctor. In a single payer system where the government's paying all the bills, that decision is no longer in your hands.
Hold on, Larry.
Yeah. Yes.
How do we get the federal government to take care of the citizens? I happen to be a proponent of a single-payer universal health care plan.
Okay, that's just to bolster a little bit of what you just said. Go ahead, sir. If nobody knew anything about that, that was President Obama when he was campaigning in 2008. Saying that he's a proponent of the single-payer system, which is where we're headed because this one's not going to work.
Go ahead, Larry.
Well, and that's all I'm saying, Tracy, is people you could have fixed what ails health care here in the United States. And then, you know, it's like we shoot the messenger. Dr. Carson, he didn't just say this is bad, an Affordable Care Act is bad. He offered some solutions. I mean, I've listened to his prayer breakfast about six, seven different times now, and I keep coming away with different stuff. I mean, the man was amazing. And he also said that, hey, well, you know, you don't beat me up here because I'm a doctor. What did he – I think it was seven people that signed the Declaration of Independence. All were doctors. And he said
– He does something?
A long time. Yeah, he said for a long time we've advocated that, and he said that we've gotten away from that, and he says we need to be back into that because the decisions that these – and he said, don't, and I'm not beating up on lawyers. He said, but you guys as lawyers are taught to win. You're not taught to how to diagnose a problem like we are in the medical field and how you treat it. And so he diagnosed the problems, and he offered solutions. Now, are all of his solutions right? No. But I think that a man like that that brings common sense solutions to what ails this country is something that's refreshing. And I don't care whether he was black, green, purple.
You know how George Washington died? The doctors of the day, the medical school of thought, believed that when a man had an ailment or a serious ailment, that he needed like new blood, like new oil. So they bled him to death.
They leached him.
And that was common.
Okay.
And your point is?
Don't give too much credence to doctors of the 1700s.
It
doesn't matter.
That's not what the issue is.
Nothing matters. I know. Nothing matters.
Brown. The issue is not the treatment of their practice. The issue is I should have the option to choose that which is best for me. And going into a nationalized single-payer health system is going to take the power out of my hands and put it into the power of other people. And that's not where you want your health care and then tie it to your taxes.
Where's the power right now?
Right now, it's in between you and your doctor, you, and you can even fight with your insurance company. But you cannot, when I go in and I say I don't want to do something, I have that option to have a negotiation. When you have someone else paying for it, you don't have it, and I don't think it's a good way to do business. Now, if people choose to do it that way, you know, they can go sign up for another health care, but to mandate it to say that all American citizens have to go this way takes away and erodes the freedoms that you have.
And there's
that's
a big reason
issue.
Why. Yeah, the other issue is they knew this. I mean, it was designed to do exactly what it's doing. That's why they delayed the employer mandate. They was like, okay, we can't have all of Americans getting their cancellation notices because the majority of Americans still get it provided through their employer. But guess what? Next year, about this time, all employers that are going to get those cancellation notices for their group coverage because so everybody's going to be pushed off to this. I mean, that's what this whole Affordable Care Act, when we said it 2 years ago, Tracy, everybody beat us up. Oh, you're just negative because, or you're racist, or you're just negative because he's a Democrat. No, I mean, I read the bill. I know what it's doing, and it's pushing
you
everybody.
You read all 1,100 pages?
I read every page.
We heard
every page I read, and then I highlighted the pages where I had questions where I couldn't distinguish what was and what wasn't. And I was like, okay, what's this mean? And then I went back, because I have people that I can go to and say, hey, what's this mean in this particular thing? And they was like, oh, that's talking about the essentials. Do you understand what the essentials are on health care?
You really read all 1,100 pages?
Absolutely.
Actually, it was higher. It was more than 1,100
Why?
Pages, I think.
Yeah,
because
it
was necessary.
Yeah.
It was. You have to understand, one, you're asking him why did he read it. He said it because he wanted to watch paint dry on the wall. And so he sat up and read it. And a lot of people have read it. But the problem is the people who passed it didn't read it. And there's a lot of minutia inside this bill that has yet to come to fruition because what we have not read is the actual execution of it. And they knew that this was not going to be an executable bill, and they did this on purpose. And right now, it's killing us. Slowly.
Queen of Blacklick.
Who?
I mean,
hello.
The queen of Blacklick.
What?
Introducing the queen of Blacklick, Ohio.
Because he's being an ignorant jack behind.
Oh, that's called a horse's potato.
Let's go.
I'm trying to be ignorant right now.
Vote for
but,
me, Diva.
What's going on, Diva? What?
Okay. Now, you guys have said that on a single-payer system, a person will never be able to make a choice between themselves and their doctor. All that power is taken out of their hands. But that is not true. Medicaid is a single-payer system. And I have sat up here and told you guys constantly about about my situation. I had all control in my patient care. Tracy,
Diva,
someone
Diva, sweetheart,
said,
it's not a single, listen,
paying for
listen, Diva, Diva, your single-payer system is not a part of a single-payer system that's universal. But
okay,
once you put once you put everybody on a single-payer system, they're going to have guidelines, and those guidelines are going to change. And so your Medicare that you have choice in right now is going to go to no choice.
So how do you know that for sure?
Because you've
because
never seen a single-payer system across the country.
Across the line on Western.
You've never seen a single-payer system anywhere across the world that has
but
not
that
conformed. Because, Diva, just hold on. Social Security started out as a great idea. But as it's gone over time, can you really live on Social Security alone anymore?
I have no idea. I
absolutely
know some people,
not.
What I'm saying is great ideas are good when they first are come into execution. A lot of times it sounds good, it feels good, but in the long term you find out that you're in something that you should not be in. Welfare at one time was a great system for a lot of people. But now we see that welfare has caused the demise of a whole community at large. And look at where it started and look at where it is right now.
But did we not start off, did our country not start off as doing something completely different than the whole world? Where in anywhere else did you see where we were, where what we established, which was trying to, which was a democracy, using a constitution instead of using a monarch or a dictator, instead of
and
going with communism or socialism, we try something different. So why do you guys feel that as great as America is and has, how innovative as America is,
because
that if we see universal health care and all these other
because
things,
Diva,
that we can't take those
become,
ideas and make it better?
It's trying to become something that it's not built to be.
So you
America has
great,
America, listen, Diva, America was built to be different. It was not built to be common. And we were built to be different than any other place in the world. That's what's made us great. But because we've taken this, even the Constitution when it was built, I think Reg called in a little bit earlier and said it wasn't meant for me when it was written, but now it is for me. So guess what?
Yep.
It's time for me to capitalize on that which is and not that which was. But what's happening
right now is we are losing because
we keep on changing things and not making them better because we're putting Band-Aids on gunshot wounds instead of taking the bullet out and allowing it to heal. And until we do something different, because right now we have legislators, tell me why we have so many policies in this country that these lawmakers exclude themselves from. How is it that you have a federal national health care system, but the federal government's not included in it? How is it that you have Social Security, but
they're
the federal government
excluded.
And you're Diva, they are excluded. Listen
no,
to what I'm saying.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
No, they
Diva.
Are not.
Diva,
wide,
they are.
Wide swaths
no,
of
not.
People that there was all kinds of people that got waivers that didn't have to comply. Most of them were big contributors. That's the truth.
That
even
Diva, that is true.
No, listen to what I'm saying, Diva. You cannot tell me that STRS, OPRS, and the federal retirement system is on Social Security.
Teachers don't pay into Social Security. Neither do our congressmen or our senators.
Neither do your county workers, neither do your government workers, neither do your police and fire.
But that's
we
okay.
all
they
have
pensions.
Don't
they have pensions?
No. Diva, you're not listening.
We're going to break.
You're not listening.
We'll be back.
You're not making no sense.
On New Stock 600.
I mean... No,
Diva, my dad worked 45 years for the United Steelworkers. He had a pension, and he also has his Social Security that he paid into. So everything that she's telling you right now is true. They're not paying into it. If you have a universal, the biggest problem with Medicare, Medicaid,
your dad never
all
paid
of it.
Into Social Security. He never paid.
That's what I just said.
So why does he?
No, you're not hearing it. They're saying that some of these people, like our congressman, they don't pay into it. They have their own separate plan.
Why would you pay into something you're not going to partake in because you already have a plan set up for retirement? That doesn't mean
because
Social
if you
Security,
look,
you guys
you
are talking about
Security.
Two different things now. You're talking about two
yes.
different
yeah.
things. You're talking about retirement and medical. And it's my
exactly.
understanding. It's my understanding they've exempted themselves from the provisions of the Affordable Care Act.
They
did.
Let me tell you why they are not exempt. Because Congress, of all people, it was passed through the Republican House that every single Congress member, actually Democratic House at the time, every single Congress member had to move off of what they had and now had to be forced into buying insurance from the exchanges, whether they wanted to or not.
Now, that went through the House of Representatives. Did it make it through the Senate? It never died in the Senate.
Let me finish. It did make it through the Senate. It made it through the House and it made it through the Senate. Yes, it did.
Did he sign the bill?
Every Congress person has to buy insurance off of the exchange.
Did Obama sign the bill?
Oh, the bill was signed. This is the bill that was actually signed into law.
And then you know what? There's so much confusion here because, you know, you hear one thing and then you hear something else.
Let me finish.
I don't know what's true anymore.
The confusion came out of how their insurance was going to get paid for. Now, at first they would have to pay for it themselves. They were taken off of their insurance where the government paid for it. Then they were forced into exchanges where they had to pay for it themselves. They figured that's not right because no other employer paid for all their insurance themselves. So then what they did, they signed an amendment to the bill, to the law, that says that the government will still subsidize their insurance, but they still have to get their insurance through the exchanges.
Cite the bill that was signed into law by President Obama that made it through the Senate. I implore you to Google it. You do whatever you have to. Go
Dude,
on the
I
U.S.
Dude, I Googled it. I read it. I researched it. I fact-checked it, and everything else.
Cite the bill. Give me the House bill number.
I'm citing the law. That's the law. You keep talking about
the
bill.
Well, the law, the bill, a bill is just an egg and the
it really is. It's not signed. I mean, the old thing, what was that from conjunction, what's your function when they were talking about it? We don't know how it goes through the House, and then it goes through the Senate. Now, a lot of times the House and the Senate will pass similar legislation. Then it goes into committee to where they have a joint, and they make both bills match up, and you know, that's where you get like
they put it on the president's desk. He either signs
and then
or vetoes it.
And then it gets it signs a number. Show me where that went through, because I remember Boehner and them pushing that through. They were like, well, then we can't do this by law. We all have to be and do it. And then, Diva, a lot of unions were excluded from it because the other dirty secret that's in the bill that a lot of people aren't even talking about now, it'll start hitting you, and you've seen it on your tax returns. You're going to start having to pay. So if you get employer coverage, and most employers cover 70-80% of whatever the premium is monthly. Now you pick up the rest. So let's say it costs you a family plan, and it costs the employer $20,000 annually. Fund that. Now let's say it's a teacher, it's a college where they pay 100%. The employee doesn't pay a penny towards the premium. You now as the employee, even though you don't get that money, you're going to have to pay a tax on a certain percentage. The first $14,000 is exempted from taxation, but that other $6,000 that the employer is paying for your health care coverage, you as the employer now have to take that $6,000 as earned income for the year. What that means is, and that's why they exempted it. GM got exempted from it, or actually the UAW and all that.
The more I hear, I'm sorry to cut you off. Let's continue. No, go ahead and say what you're going to say. The more I hear, they should scrap the entire for-profit health system. They should train doctors. Medical schools should be government sponsored. We're the only country in the world that has a for-profit health care system.
That's not true.
We have a solely for-profit health care system. We have
in
a solely for-profit healthcare system, and no one ever points to that as that's part of the reason we have so many problems.
No, there's a lot of hospitals that are non-profit. You have private hospitals, privately owned hospitals, and you have non-profit.
Right.
Hey, Mr. Beasley.
Yes,
this
sir.
This is Alex. That may contribute to the problem, but I think that is a kind of scapegoating the issue. I mean, there's nothing wrong with free enterprise, even in medicine, because the thing is that the government cannot produce anything. The government is only force. That's it. And so nobody has the right to the service of somebody else, even if it is a doctor or a nurse. So I'm fundamentally opposed to that, unless there is a ratified amendment to the Constitution where we do that. Because in my opinion, any healthcare law, Medicare, Medicaid, all this stuff is illegal, in my opinion. But what I wanted to say though really is that the root of the problem is not the for-profit nature. It is that we allow lobbying in our government, lobbying to occur. Because the only reason why healthcare is unaffordable is because of big pharmaceutical companies have lobbied the FDA to make certain medical, most medical treatments and medicines just unattainable for smaller businesses. It costs $100 million to get any drug through the FDA, so only big companies can produce these drugs and medicines. And it's the same thing with the doctors. They force the government to give them independent license.
Now let me get this straight. Put the lime in the coconut, you drink a bowl up. Put the lime in the coconut, you drink a bowl up. You put the lime in the coconut, you drink a bowl up. You put the lime in the coconut, you call the doctor, woke him up. Say, doctor.
Hey, Trey.
I have a question, Jeff. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I have one question for you. Can you please tell me this one thing?
Mm.
What in the world were they talking about when they sang that song?
The lime and the coconut. That was an island remedy.
Island remedy of what?
But for bellyache,
oh.
Put the lime in the coconut, you drink it all up. I could be wrong. I don't have the faintest idea what it is.
You just make it up as you go. You do like everybody else. I want to go back to my conversation. The number is 347-945-5229. I want you to join in the conversation here on WSOM AM 600. We're live here. And I want to thank Jeff for stepping in on Tuesday so I can go to Rotary. Rotary is a great foundation. If you have one in your area and you're not a member, you need to go and check it out and see how you can become a member. They do philanthropic deeds throughout the community and throughout the world to eradicate polio and social issues across the land.
Polo or polio?
Polio. Did I say polo? Okay, polo.
I like wearing polo. I mean, and I don't play it. But
that's what I said, polo, polio.
Polio, the same thing. Okay.
I am trying to... I'm trying to say, you think that your legislators get do things as you would do them, and they don't. You have PERS, and I'm just talking about Ohio because I know in every other state, your police and fire, your teachers, your social workers, all these people who work for on your government dollar, they pay into their own retirement. They pay into Social Security, but they do not receive Social Security benefits. Even if you paid into Social Security benefits, if you were born after 1956, you can no longer receive a Social Security and your own substantial pension program. But you do not get Social Security. Why would they allow you to be a part of a system that they don't participate in? The Affordable Health Care Act, they do not participate in because they have benefits. But because they get vetted in at a very, very early age, if I'm not, they become vested. I don't know about federal employees, but I know your congressmen, they get vested really, really early. I don't know how many years it is. When they, if they're there for more than X amount of terms, they get full pensions, if I'm not mistaken. That's absolutely crazy. And I don't think we really understand that. Why would we allow that, yet they make laws for you that they don't participate in? That's like me saying, "Do what I do, but not do as I say, but not as I do," because and let me say this: I thought about this the other morning. They get paid anywhere in excess of $160,000 for your congressmen and your senators. There's no accountability. You don't know what they're doing. They take off every vacation, every Christmas break, every summer break, every holiday break, every break there is. They take off. You know, whatever extended time there is, they do things outside of the beltway that you have no idea of. They raise a lot of money, take care of a lot of families, yet you don't hold them accountable. And you wonder why the system is all correct. It's all corrupt. It's corrupt because you've given too much power to people who don't represent you.
They are held accountable.
The
representatives are held accountable every two. I'm not saying what you're saying is wrong, but they are held accountable. They're held. U.S. representatives are held accountable every 2 years when they're up for election, and United States senators are held accountable every six years when they're up for election.
If that's what you call accountability, I'll let you go.
That's
with
how
that.
They but, got there. They got there
no,
by
no, no,
being elected.
But you got to understand. You understand they leave there. because of that you saw them sleeping with little kids. But outside of that, they stay there until somebody wants to move them. And as a matter of fact, they're more easily moved by their caucus than they are by the people who elect them.
If you got the name James Johnson and you're up against Harry McCloskey, who's going to win that race?
McCloskey.
Uh-huh.
No, Jeff. Where it depends on where you live.
Yeah, it depends on where you live. If you live in a black neighborhood, James Johnson could win.
Johnson could win.
Did you see what a white guy ran? Didn't put no pictures on his site, but black pictures, and he won the race.
No. Remember, hold on, Jeff. If you go back to the, what's it called, the movie that Eddie Murphy was in. Was it Eddie Murphy?
Yeah.
And it was called The Distinguished Gentleman.
Distinguished Gentleman.
And he went around. That is so true and profound. We laugh and joke at it, but we don't understand just how true that is.
Oh yeah.
I need to run for office then, because people tell me I got a pretty good name, so I'm gonna have to try it out.
Yeah, but you want to be a libertarian.
Yeah, but the people will vote for the name, you know. I'm have to.
Yeah, but not as a libertarian.
I'm gonna have to look for people who run with crazy names, and I run against them, you know. Then I might win.
and you can't. That's what makes it so bad. And because we have an uneducated electorate, but we need to understand your caucus is more apt to remove a person from office than you are as electors of that area.
You know, they got. Some people got upset with me when they said, "You just think all black people are stupid." I said, "No, I don't." Well, you said the black folks is ignorant. I said, "They are." And I said, "And a lot of my people are ignorant, yes. And that's because they allow other people to teach them and show them how to vote. If they don't get you all excited about voter suppression or somebody's a racist in the race, you don't vote."
But Jeff, this is, if we need to
What's
really
comprehend.
What's
the difference between being excited about those things or being excited about?
Because you're not voting.
Because we have We have not been taught how to think critically about what people tell us.
Good.
Where
do you guys live again? Where people don't think critically?
In the United States of America.
Yeah, right.
In the United States of America.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
I wonder who you're around sometime. You should associate with some of my friends and the people that I know and talk to of color
different
and,
area.
And of different ethnicity. Unbelievable.
Come on, Brown.
But you said,
Brown.
You know, it's unbelievable that you guys say these
Brown.
Things, that black people
Brown.
Don't know how to...
I didn't say...
Not
I didn't,
taught
I didn't,
or
I didn't,
don't
Brown, Brown, Brown I didn't, you ain't heard a color out my mouth.
Me neither.
Well, I have heard from Jeff now. I'm listening to him.
I'm
to
saying,
exactly
but,
what he
but,
said.
But you're talking to me, and you have not heard color out of my mouth.
I was speaking actually to both of you, because you guys were
and
chatting
what I
in
said
together.
Was,
let me redirect
Brown,
that towards
you. You have not heard color out of my mouth. When
I heard
say
it out
people
of Jeff.
Have not,
you're both speaking but, at the same time.
No, we're not speaking at the same time, because my voice is different than Jeff. I'm not talking about black people, white people, red people, orange people. What I'm saying
is
people have not
That's
been
what
taught
I was responding
to think critically.
To.
No, it wasn't. And here's the thing. Yes, there are a lot of my people that are ignorant, and they don't understand how to vote, and they will get up and vote because somebody
Jeff,
tells them that somebody's
Jeff,
trying to keep them from.
Jeff,
but
that is
not an informed
you,
voter.
Jeff, someone that disagrees with you on anything, I've heard you refer to them as stupid. So
yeah, I do,
that
and that's wrong.
Know, so, no,
that's,
no, no,
that's wrong,
you,
and
see,
I apologize.
That's how you really feel. That's how you feel.
It is
though.
How I feel. I do
okay,
because
I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with that, except when you call me stupid. But so, in order for someone to vote properly or to be an educated, informed voter, they have to agree with you. Those guys that you went
no.
to breakfast with told you the truth.
No, Brown, that's not true. I don't care
Everyone,
if you disagree with Brown. I don't care if you disagree with me. If you disagree with me, then that. If you know the reason why you disagree with me, I'm okay with that. Because there's one guy here that I sat by. He says I'm a socialist, and I can't take that from him. That's what he said he is. He's a good friend of mine.
Yeah, this is my issue. If you're a socialist and you know what a socialist
is,
and that's who you are,
mm-hmm.
that's fine.
Fine with me.
But if you say that you're a socialist and you don't know what a socialist is, then you need to not say things. And we have a bad habit of actually. saying and subscribing to things who we think the things are one way, and they're not. The only reason why we don't say that we're a part of the Ku Klux Klan is because it's been branded as being a bad thing. But that's just like when we talk about Uncle Tom. We think Uncle Tom was a bad guy, but if you've never read the book, Uncle Tom was not a bad guy.
Nope, not at all. 269, you're in the air.
I don't know.
269, 369, you're in the air. I guess you're not. Maybe that's him that's on the phone. You know, Brown, my thing is they do not have to agree with me. I don't care if you don't agree with me. But when you don't agree with me because you believe somebody said that I want to sneak in their backyard and kill all their grass off, then that's a problem because they've lied to you and you believe it, and that's what you're going to go and vote for. That's stupidity.
The people on the right don't lie to you, Jeff.
But let me hold on. This is not about stupidity, Jeffrey. And I've come to this resolve.
Okay.
This is strictly ignorance.
Well,
ignorance is not stupidity.
I agree with you.
Ignorance is not stupidity. Stupidity is knowing.
They're cousins. They're cousins, though.
They might be cousins, but they're not. They might be related, but they're not the same. And we need to understand the definition of the word. There are more people who are ignorant in this world than there are that are stupid. And we need to be
Hello?
Able to define stupidity from ignorance. Ted, your mic's on. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Michigan. What's going on?
How you doing?
Oh man, I just was wondering where you were at.
Don't ask.
Yeah, I'm right here listening to this stupidity. But you know,
Michigan,
wait a minute.
I miss you, man.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you. I'm gonna just say that. I miss you. I thought about
All
you
right,
yesterday. I'm honest to God.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. But you know, the thing about it is, you don't need a majority of any people to run a society. So
true.
In most societies that you go to, you will find the majority of the people ignorant, politically and otherwise. And that, I think that's just normal. What really runs the society are the organized people, and that's through their organizations and institutions. You don't need the general populace to know everything. So to use the word, you know, black people are ignorant or this and that, I don't know if that really gets you to the heart of what I know that's not black folks' issue. Well, you guys don't, you know, you just keep running that same game, but that's not black folks' issue. But even with white folks in America, the majority of them will be ignorant of politics. The majority of them are. And the majority of them will always be. So that's, you don't use that to get at any issues that you have in a society. You have to get at what are the intent of these institutions and organizations that run the society. Now, if you can either overthrow them or create some alternative ones, then you'll have something. But it's not about lying to people up and seeing who's ignorant.
Their intent is to keep people ignorant and divided and keep them responding to emotional issues.
Whose intent is that?
Just about every institution, just about every institution, from the media to the educational system, it keeps people divided, it keeps people ignorant, and it keeps people responding to emotional issues.
I gotta put you guys on hold.
Okay, I do agree with that, Brian.
I agree. And that's, go ahead, Matt. But that's what we say. It's all about keeping you ignorant and divided, because a house divided cannot stand. The last thing they want you to do is have knowledge and come together as one. Why do you think they divide America like they do?
You got 30 seconds, Matt.
Well, no, I was just agreeing with what he said. I mean, you see plenty of it just on this show alone with some of these callers that call in. Even, you know, I was ignorant to a lot of what you guys discuss on the show as far as race until I started calling in and paying attention. So, you know, I'm on a constant learning curve. There's a difference between me, though, and a lot of these people that refuse to learn. They think they have the answer, and that's remaining ignorant as to
no,
where
that's
I
stupid. That's stupid.
Well, you know what? I can go with that. Yeah. All right. I can go with that.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. We're going to break. We'll see you back on the other side. Afternoon with Tracy and friends. Let's pay some bills, Tracy.
You got it.
Right here.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the...
Hey, Beasley, just really quick, is there a possibility you could hop into the chat room really quick? Because I have some information about that artist that we were talking about before.
You know, I saved it. The video card on my computer's out.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I haven't been in the chat room.
All right, yeah, he told me just to, you know, if I see you, give you his... He's also got a... he's got a Facebook page, too, with the contact information if you're still interested, so.
Yeah, no, I am interested. I like some of the things. Some of the things were colorful and nice. The thing on the toilet looks cute. I'll find a way to be in touch with them before Christmas. Some of those things are cute, but, you know, there's no prices.
Yeah, no. Well, there's no prices for a reason. It's those things seem to change as the economy changes, and then he told me, he said in the last 10 years, he's like, It's very difficult to put a price on anymore as
right.
the years go by. So,
well, I guess the most important thing is to sell the stuff and not overprice it. You know, it's cute. It's interesting stuff, though. I like nice and colorful.
Yeah, he gets into this is one of these guys that can do anything with anything. He's really good with my kids. He's great with kids. And he can just make he can do anything. It's
right.
really incredible to watch.
Yeah, it's some people's brains work that way. He's not ignorant or stupid.
Yeah, right. Well, no, that's absolutely true.
Right. It's amazing how we can all agree on something and then just go, it goes completely opposite from there. But,
well, I think a lot of it is not understanding the argument. You know what I mean? The way somebody means something, the way they say it, I think that's a lot of it.
No, that plays a big part of it. We hear certain things. We hear certain things and go off of that. And then not everyone always explained themselves very well. Or then some people explain themselves a little bit too well, but you get lost in the translation. No, it's the truth. They explain the truth.
I'm
never
confused to that.
Yeah, and you explain stuff too. And I think that's why you have the media that focuses on sound bites. Keep it nice, short, and simple.
Stupid.
Yeah, it's stupid to make your decisions based on sound bites. But you know, it is what it is. There's so much information out there, and it's too much to process.
But Brown,
I did read the whole ACA.
Wow, must really be boring where you are.
Oh
well, you know, most of my reading I get done at night. I don't watch a lot of TV, to be quite honest with you. I watch, you know, sports. If my son's playing on TV, I'll watch that. But most of my stuff is done in the evening, when most people are sitting down watching what's going on. And,
if you read it, you understand it a whole lot better than I do.
Well, the thing was, I just went through. I mean, I printed it. I spent like $10 on paper. I printed the whole thing out, went through it, read it, and the parts that I didn't understand, I mean, some of it was pretty basic, but there was a certain part it talked about.
I would bet that less than 10% of the Senate and House of Representatives have read it cover to cover.
Right. And most of them, if they read it, they did what I did. You know, you're not going to understand the whole damn thing. So I highlighted the parts that I had no idea what they were talking about and went back to, you know, guys that I know. There's one guy that, you know, that's his business. He's in,
right.
And another guy that I played college football with, he's an executive with a large insurance provider out of Chicago. And we traded probably a couple hundred emails back and forth. What's this mean? Like, I had no idea on the essential coverage, and that's my biggest bone of contention. I'm 45, but now, you know, my wife and I, we don't need, you know, contraceptives. I had my vasectomy. She had her tubes tied, but I'm still got to pay for insurance
that covers contraception. That doesn't make sense.
I don't have any. I don't have any kids. I pay property taxes for years to go to public
school. That's all she was. Simba's paradise. That's all she was. Simba's paradise. That's all she was. 'Cause coke was a thing that once she first tried was once.
Now what's your plan, Jeff?
Called Pimpin's Paradise. 'Cause she ain't got no money and she wanna get high. Sound familiar?
No, no, I don't sound familiar. Hey, you listen to the Tracy and Friends here on the WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I hope you're having a good day today. If you want to check us out, you can check us out on iHeartRadio. Check it, type in WSOM. You can check us at TracyandFriends.com and also 600WSOM.com. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends. And here we're on 700, and did I say 700? 600. If you want to call locally, you can. The number is 330-781-9600. And if you want to call on the internet and see about the lines, my tongue's gone. Okay, I'm done.
Okay. Room, what are you all doing in there? You behaving?
No.
We're listening.
No.
Listening
to who was holding court?
I think Larry was talking about, well, I know Larry was talking about that how he actually read the Affordable Care Act and the parts that he didn't understood, he sought out understanding.
See, what you don't know is that a lot of people that call in this show are very, very involved. Larry's not boring. But they're very involved in politics around the state of Ohio, and they just might need to know that information for some things, you know?
They have no life.
I said the same thing, Tracy. I said it must be real boring where you are if you read that whole thing.
Larry, don't let him do this.
Is it boring, not only is it boring here, it's cold.
Oh, my God, it's getting cold now.
So, you know, what else can we do?
It's getting cold now.
You got to stay in and do something. And TV can only entertain you for so much or for so long.
That's what I told him, Tracy. I mean, if it's not sports season, I don't watch a whole lot of TV, you know. So I my wife gets mad at me, but I figure if I'm going to talk on something, I'd better at least have a working knowledge on it. And I'm not talking something that the RNC sends me either. I'd search it out. I mean,
thank you.
That's the best way.
The question is, how many other people? And this is my problem. And how many other people read the bill, and understand the bill that passed the bill?
I will bet you
your congressman, they did not read the bill.
During the break, I said I believe that probably less than 10% of the Senate and the House of Representatives read the bill.
I'm going to say this. Tracy, I don't know whether you agreed with what Dr. Carson said last night about what he thought the answer to it was. Health savings accounts.
Health savings accounts.
And that the government would put in $2,000 a year into everyone's, not just, you know, all 315 million people.
It still would come out cheaper than what we do
right
now. It's
come out way cheaper than what we're doing right now. And you could use it within your family. You could also sign away at least 5% of your money to somebody else that might be in need, one of your coworkers or something like that. But inside a family of four, the mother could give it to the child, or the child could give it to the mother or the father, give some to them so that they could be covered if they had something that was, you know, a little more than chronic. And then you buy catastrophic plans.
Can I tell you something, Jeff?
He said it would cost $638 billion only.
Can I tell you something?
Can I say something after her?
It will take control away from people. The government will not be in control.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. The government.
Isn't that socialism? If that's not socialism,
No, this is just like
the
your Social Security.
Hold on a second.
They
the
take your taxes and they spend it on crazy stuff. They let somebody pee in a glass and put a cross in it, and you pay them $50,000 to put it on display. So why not get rid of stuff like that and go ahead and spend the $638 billion on the people that gave it in the first place.
Because
that's not socialism.
Because it takes away
control. Well, what Dr. Carson said,
socialism is what you have.
You correctly.
Dr. Socialism.
Carson said we're going to take $2,000 and put it in everyone's account, in their
every
bank
year.
Account.
Every
year. Every year. Across the board.
Correct.
Yes.
So the government is going to equally distribute the proceeds.
Right.
So that's what socialism is, Jeff. I'm sorry.
No. Socialism is when the government controls what you do with your money.
Remember, you used to get that.
That's the difference.
Jeff,
remember
Jeff, you don't know what you're talking about.
No.
Socialism
is an equal distribution
of the pie.
No, Dr. Carson, it's socialism. Hold on.
Stop saying no. Stop disagreeing and think for a minute. Take a second and think for a moment. Good.
Listen
grief.
To what I'm saying. That's I understand.
That's what socialism is.
No, it's not.
Listen, socialism is not socialism is redistribution of wealth.
No, hold on. Socialism,
Brown,
there is no
Brown,
wealth. No, stop
Brown.
That's what you're
correct,
saying
either.
Is wrong.
Yes, you're not listening
to
me. You're not listening to what you're not listening. Every not too long ago, George Bush was sending out $500 and $300 checks to everybody. Remember that?
That he was just giving you your own money back. That's not socialism.
So what do you think sending $2,000 to every citizen in America is? It's giving your money back because you already paid it in taxes. They ain't gonna stop charging you taxes in America, are they?
Once again, a simple definition of socialism. Anybody who's took a basic high school class knows that socialism is an equal division of the collective pie. If Dr.
We're not
Carson,
doing that.
If Dr. Carson is proposing
giving
$2,000 to each individual for some health account to be used at a later date, that is a socialism. That is a socialist policy, and that's all I'm going to say on this.
May I step in there? Without
certainly.
Please, Larry.
Yeah, the $2,000 number and what he was talking about is basically what we're spending today, and that goes to insurance companies. He's talking about putting that money that we're already spending and putting it in the hands of the
right.
people to make the decisions on their own. So, yeah, I guess my $2,000. Actually, I'm going to get back some of the money that I'm already given. You know what I mean? But somebody that ain't paying into the system, they're going to be getting some of my money. So, yeah, we are spreading that around a little bit. But whether you want to call it socialism, okay, I'll give it to you. I'll let you. But what he's talking about is instead of doing it like we are, put the people in charge of it. I mean, his analogy at the prayer breakfast was basically – somebody that gets an ulcer on their foot from their diabetes, instead of running to the – and if they're in charge of it, now they've got their own money. Are they going to spend that $500 and go to the emergency room, or are they going to go and spend $100 at the clinic? Because they're going to get the same care at the clinic so that – you know, but it's cheaper. And then the clinic is going to say, okay, we've got your ulcer under control. Now let's get your diabetes under control so you don't have any more ulcers. And that's the difference between going to the emergency room and going to a clinic or going to your doctor. And that's
all.
Because right
yeah.
now, I can go to the emergency room because it's not costing
you know,
me.
You know, the bottom line is what the purpose of a government should be in a capitalist society is to basically to continuously induce competition. What that does is it neutralizes the profit motive, which is the motive behind capitalism. And if that's done correctly, of course the private sector is anti-government, it's anti-any government program, if in fact it will induce competition.
Michigan
and
man.
If you don't induce competition in a capitalist society, you watch what it ends up being. You
well,
will have the
before.
Very rich. That's right. You will have the very rich and the very poor. And that's where this society is headed.
Exactly.
Can I chime in there?
Yeah, go ahead, Alan.
Hey, Tracy. Yeah, Michigan Man is right. What
well, partly anyway. What it does end up is, if you don't have the competition, it turns into fascism, which is actually what we see a lot of already in our country. Is the big companies, they lobby to the government to stamp out all of the competition, especially in our medical industry. That's exactly what's wrong with it. Big Pharm, they lobby the government to stamp out all the competition of little guys and keep getting bigger and bigger. And that's why now we have a healthcare bill written by the medical industry, by the insurance companies, to force everyone else to comply. And so we this is already a brand of fascism. But also wanted to touch on what Beasley said. He was right about it being socialism. I mean, because any time the government collects taxes and institutes any government program, it doesn't matter how well intentioned it is, that, you know, Dr. Ben Carson is still a step towards socialism. And, you know, it's not something we should be doing anyway. If we just corrected the root of the problem, you know, instead of, you know, rewarding these companies, letting them lobby government after they get special favors from the government, if we stop that in the first place, then, you know, healthcare costs would drop precipitously, automatically. But nobody's talking about what the real problem is.
Yes, Alex, he did, and this is what you missed. He's not talking about the insurance companies doing a doggone thing with it. He's saying cut the insurance companies out, no middleman. Get your health savings account, and you deal directly with the doctor, the hospital, and everything that you have to. You'll get $2,000 of your own money back a year to do it with per person. So therefore, if you have...
Well, what do you get catastrophic coverage from
then?
They will hang Ben Carson at dawn if he tries to cut out... If he proposes anything, cutting out the insurance companies. Because that's the root of the problem.
But where are you getting catastrophic coverage from?
You
get it from insurance companies.
You spend one-third of what you have on catastrophic, but you can buy the catastrophic coverage.
But that's not cutting out the middleman then.
Yes, it is cutting out the middleman except for catastrophic.
Okay.
Except for catastrophic, yes.
I got to address what you just said, really. I like Dr. Carson, I really do, but at the same time, he's a doctor, and so what he's not going to tell you is that doctors are also part of the problem. You see, because doctors have their own, you could call them their own personal club, the AMA, you know, and they've lobbied government too to make it illegal for anybody else to practice anything that resembles medicine. And so that's the only reason why they can charge so much, why the schooling is so expensive, and they drive up the medical cost as well, because they have lobbied government to force licensure to give themselves basically stamp out all the other competition of great treatments, like from certain chiropractors have been forced out of business, certain herbalists have been forced out of business,
right,
and put in jail.
Agree.
So doctors are just as much a part of the problem as everybody else, and so, you know, it's not going to solve anything to give everybody $2,000. That's just a gift to the doctors. You know, Obamacare is a gift to insurance.
If you don't
companies.
Use
you know,
it, it's not a gift to anybody.
Alex,
did you hear me?
Alex is making a good point.
No, that's not a good
doctors,
point. No, that part is not a good point. The first part was absolutely a good point. But listen, Alex,
attention.
Alex, we got 20
everybody.
Seconds. I got to go to break. Mm-hmm. Listen. No, the first part of what you said is correct, are part of the problem. However, in this case, it's the insurance companies. You're cutting out the profit motive of the insurance companies, and you're giving and putting it in the hands of the people to make their decision on their own care. Then they can go to doctors, and the prices will go down because now the doctors are getting full pay. Once again, Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We'll be right back.
He's wrong.
I'm Robert Keegan with your headline news. The trial has started for the man accused of killing a Canfield family nearly 40 years ago. 64-year-old James Ferreira is on trial for the triple murder back in 1974. Ben Marsh, a security officer at the GM Lordstown plant, his wife Marilyn, and their 4-year-old daughter Heather were murdered inside their home. The parents were shot, the little girl beaten to death. Jury selection has started in the trial. Gary Swiegen, the man hired by Youngstown State University to help the school's enrollment issues, started his first day of work yesterday. Swiegen comes with a good track record. He most recently worked at Bowling Green State University, where he helped increase enrollment by more than 15% over a 6-year time period. And the Youngstown pastor injured in a traffic accident is paralyzed from the waist down. A spokesperson for the St. Paul the Apostle Church says Father Stephen Popovich is recovering at St. Elizabeth Hospital. Last week, his car slid on ice and hit a pickup truck and a tree. For
I wonder how long this new kind of Jeff's going to last.
The one thing that amazes me is that Dr. Carson is a neurosurgeon. So he knows how expensive Medi-Cal costs get and how quickly they can get, especially in sick children. So this plan of $2,000 per year and then having buying catastrophic coverage through the insurance, I mean, that's a gift to insurance and to doctors. I don't understand how they think that works.
I mean, before Obamacare got enacted, I mean, that's what I did. I saved money. It was much cheaper for me to just have a catastrophic insurance policy. It allowed for me to see the doctor, like, I think it was like twice a year or something like that, and cover just like routine basic stuff.
Right.
But because I didn't want to be giving all my money to the insurance company. But if anything major happened, like where if I ended up in an emergency room or if I got cancer or anything, then my insurance would pick that up. I think that's better than giving the insurance company all your money, in my opinion. But Jeff is just wrong. He's flat out wrong about he's saying it's not a gift to the doctor. It's like saying, you know, it's the same way with like auto insurance. It's like, well, you know, you could say, well, you don't have to get it. When states mandate that you have to, if you want to drive in their state, you have to have auto insurance. Well, you can say, well, you just don't drive. But see, that doesn't work when you're talking about medical coverage or health care, because if the government is still still forcing or stamping out competition, viable medical options for people, where only these people with these medical licenses can actually practice, then it's like, well, then what's your option then? Go. Everybody needs medical treatment at some point. So then, you go without treatment, or you have to pay hand over fist to these doctors, you know, who. You know, most of the time they're overpaid. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
They're not cheap. You want to know something interesting about the cult of personality? Real quick, the cult of personality. Dr. Ben Carson is proposing socialism and cutting out the middleman, the insurance companies. That's far more radical than Obamacare. But them hearing it from him, it's okay.
You know what this is, Tracy?
Yeah.
This is Bob Marley. Where you at? You cut your mic off.
She's crying.
Yeah, I was crunching.
You got to crunch in the mic. It's not good unless you crunch in the mic.
You can't crunch in the mic.
This is called No Diva, No Cry.
Oh, my.
No Diva, No Cry.
Hey, leave Diva alone, man.
No Diva, No Cry.
Oh,
Oh, it's no woman, no. I thought it was Diva. Oh, I'm sorry, Diva. I can't, because I can't block her for 6 months.
Hey, you're listening to the Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, the number 347-945-5229. Hey, Jeff, you know I won't be here Friday, right?
Mm-mm.
Okay, I won't be here Friday.
Where are you going Friday?
I'm going to the doctor.
Oh. Well, what? No, thanks for telling me now. What if I had plans? I will not be here Tuesday.
What?
Going to get my baby. Got to pick up my baby. Yeah.
So she was 20 miles from very bad, tornado hit. Just 20 miles. Was very, very close.
Is Alex still on the line?
No, Alex.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Alex is
yeah,
still here. Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I just caught the tail end. Hey, what's up, dude? Yeah, I just caught the tail end. Now, it sounded like you were saying that what the government is in trying to do is to stop competition. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's exactly what the government – anytime the government gets involved, that's exactly what they're doing. Yes.
They monopolize.
Yeah, that's definitely what I'm saying. Listen, well, wait a minute. Name me one industry. Just take the government all the way out. Name one industry where that is exactly the intent of the private sector to monopolize. One industry.
Telephone communications.
The government
got involved with breaking AT&T apart, and then
over the past 20 years they reconsolidated,
and it's AT&T again.
Right, and so what I'm telling you is, if you don't have an entity that can induce competition, wait a minute, you can disagree with the words that are coming out of my mouth, but you can't disagree with history.
Right,
you can't disagree with history. And
I'm about to give you some history
anti,
to give me a chance.
What do you think antitrust laws? What do you think that stuff comes from, and why it comes about?
Mm-hmm. Railroad.
It's because the private
Standard Oil.
None of the private sector wants interest. They would like all of the market share. What are you talking about?
Okay.
Don't cross him. Let him finish, and then I'll go to Alex.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you look at the private sector, there's probably about three main players in every industry. Now, I want you to go and ask either one of them what part of the market share would they like to have. They're not going to say a third. They're going to say all of it.
Right.
Well, what's wrong with y'all?
Okay. Can I rebut that?
Please,
okay.
Please.
All right. You cannot name an industry that has where if you find these giants that now there are a few, like there are a few innovators like say Google and Apple, but for the most part, most of these giants are there because they got special favors from the government. Whether they got like especially in telecommunications, like people like AT&T and Viacom conglomerate before they were Viacom, I can't remember the name, but you know, getting special FCC broadcast licenses, getting special favors. When you're talking about the railroads and all that. See, these what people don't realize, and even people like Henry Ford, and the reason why GM made it to its prominence was because of government intervention into the marketplace. Because the Federal Reserve giving cheap money lines to these people, while you had black automobile companies like the J.R. Carrington Company based in Ohio went out of business because they couldn't get a loan from the Federal Reserve. And so, which is stamping out competition. Same thing with our pharmaceutical companies because they're able to lobby our FDA. And so then the FDA says they pass their drugs along before anybody else's. You know, just certain companies like Monsanto. Now they have pretty much monopoly on the farming industry for the production of just about 90% of the food in our country. You know, and especially when it comes to pharmaceutical drugs. You know, it costs over $100 million to get a drug through or a medical device through because they lobbied them to increase the regulation so much that little guys can't even make drugs and medical devices, even ones that they smart people can't even afford to get into the business anymore. And so now all you have is big companies like Pfizer and GlaxoSmithKline that they're the only ones that sell you drugs now. So now our doctors they're pimping our doctors. And so become legal drug dealers.
Hold on, Michigan. I want to say this, and I'll bring you up, Michigan. Because what Alex is saying is true, and they have marginalized innovation today so that they don't have competition, and they've done it through the legislation and the regulations put on by lobbyists because the American people don't know how the system actually works. And they do it in the name of you. Go ahead, Michigan.
Okay. If you remember when I first started, I said what a government is supposed to do. Now, the only thing that Alex is saying is showing you what happens when a government, the government turns into capitalism, which is about what? The profit motive. So that's why your legislators take money and put this one out and keep this one from getting this. That's because the government has turned into a capitalist. I said what a government is supposed to do in a capitalist society is to induce competition continuously. Is that not what I said?
That's what you said.
But that's not what they do.
I don't believe that that's the government's
job. I said that is what it's supposed to
do. No, it's not.
If you don't do that in a capitalist society, okay, I'll tell you what. We'll revisit this in 20 years with it continuing the way it's going, and you're going to wish the government had stepped in. That's what you're going to wish. Just let it keep going. Now, you may not personally, Alex, but just let it keep going.
See, this is the issue. The government as it stands right now, I don't want it to intervene and do anything because those people in there are never going to do and make a right decision because most of them don't even know what they're there to do.
Even a broken clock is right two times a day, Tracy.
But not a broken government because you can't afford to be wrong two times a day. You need to be able to – listen, anytime you have bills that you don't read but you pass anyway, you shouldn't be there.
Yeah, I would say that's the majority of the bills that go through. Alex brought up an interesting point about Monsanto.
Tomorrow we'll talk about Monsanto because tomorrow they're actually coming in here to talk to us about that. But I'm saying we need to understand that. We need to understand what they're doing is they are manufacturing laws that are killing us and that will kill us and that will control us. And you're supposed to be in a free democracy, and you're not, because we are too lazy to actually participate in it. So we follow people instead of lead people. And that's what's happening to America, and if we don't wake up, we're going to lose.
It's too late. So who's coming tomorrow to talk about Monsanto? You probably got someone that works for Monsanto or a Monsanto lobbyist to tell us how it's all good, right?
He's a geneticist. He's been on here before. We're going to talk about agriculture and 4-H and all those different types of things. And you can disagree with him. I'll let you disagree as long as you disagree.
Oh, I don't even know who he is to disagree with him yet. I don't make up my
mind
saying, that quick.
I don't have a problem with disagreement as long as we disagree and we're diplomatic about our disagreement and we're not nasty.
Like Jeff.
Yeah, like me.
Like Jeff.
Like me. I'm uncouth. I was raised by the wolves.
No, that's not true.
Yeah, me too. I understand.
My dad, my mama used to say my daddy.
But I know I knew your daddy, and I try. I try. You all have no idea how hard I try.
God came and gave my daddy a great word today, a great memory today. I was in here bawling like a baby. I didn't let nobody know, though.
I'm sure your daddy was an honorable man, but I'm glad I didn't know him since he was a prosecutor.
Oh, no. You know, you would have wanted to know him because I tell you what.
He got more people
out of jams that they would not believe it. They just say, "How'd you do that?"
The problem that we have, even with the judicial system, it comes into ignorance. And until we actually become critical thinkers, as I said a little bit earlier, we will always end up on the bottom side of somebody's shoe.
Oh boy.
Well, it's the truth.
It happens every day as the Crusaders play.
The government judicial system is working perfect.
For who?
For what it was intended.
Right.
For what it was intended to work for. It's working. It's working perfect. It's not. There's nothing wrong with it.
But listen, we're just the subjects
of it, and we don't know it.
But listen. But the only reason why you're a subject of it is because you're we're too ignorant to learn the rules of engagement.
The rules of engagement is a big, huge war chest, and it's hard.
There's a lot of money.
It's hard to compete against a corporation. It's hard. There were many well-minded. there were many well-minded people that were against Monsanto and what they've done. You know, the interesting thing is, Alex said, is that they're monopolizing and dominating the farming industry. They're taking a step further than that. They're monopolizing and dominating the actual seeds.
But listen, you didn't change the subject. Like I said, that's tomorrow. You want to, you determined to go there today, but we're not going there today. I'm just saying.
I'm being controlled by my radio government. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Because
right.
There's no democracy here.
I tried to stand up for my rights and be assertive for one time, and I get shut down. It's okay. I understand.
Brown.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm not a ma'am.
I'm sorry.
It's because you're just stupid.
Oh, man.
I got that one in, Brad. I'm sorry. No, I'm going to tell you what.
Where has Michigan been?
Michigan,
right.
Yeah, Beasley. No, I'm going to give you that. Beasley is one of our most, I want to use the word the right thing, insightful. No, insightful. He's very insightful. And when he stopped fighting me, you know, before, and which I thought was good. He has been very, very valuable to me as a caller. So
I
want to
know.
I appreciate him for real.
I only got 3 minutes. Where, Michigan, where have you been?
Yeah.
Well, are you working for the government or the private sector before I answer that?
Right.
Right now I'm working for the private sector.
Or in between the two, right. What's the difference?
There's a difference.
Business, we're doing some stuff over in Jamaica and Uganda. So I've been a little tied up. And actually, tied up today. I had 2 employees had to leave early, so that's why I kept putting you guys on hold. But
this
just
talking about can't get folks to come to work and do their job.
Yeah, business. Oh, they said that they left early.
That's what I'm saying. They had business. They don't want to come to work. Folks don't want to do their job. Hey, listen to Tracy and Friends here on AM 600 tomorrow. We'll be back with Sticks and I. Hope you had a good day. Jeff, thanks for sitting in. I expect you to be here next Tuesday. Quit trying to play. I can't get folks to work.
I'm not here.
As much as I pay. Jeez, man. Y'all just don't want to act right.
Man.
God bless you guys. Be safe for the rest of the day. Try to stay, get someplace warm and enjoy tomorrow. God bless. And
this for you, Michigan.
Listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Newstalk 600, WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. A Florida judge has set bond for George Zimmerman for his latest run-in with the law. We get more from ABC's Aaron Katursky.
His girlfriend said George Zimmerman pushed her and threatened her with a shotgun, and the prosecutor said it wasn't the first time he became violent.
The victim had indicated that there was a prior domestic violence incident that occurred approximately a week and a half ago that involved a choking.
It was news to Zimmerman's court-appointed attorney.
That was not contained in the arrest report, and that's the first we've heard about it.
Prosecutors also said Zimmerman threatened suicide. The judge set bond at $9,000 and restricted his movements until he returns to court in January. Aaron Katursky, ABC News.
The Justice Department.